about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay. Okay. I have to, they're calling me. I have to work now.
Take well, rock on. Daddy's gotta go rock.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
To an out-of-this-world phenomenon. I hate this word. Phenomenon.
Hey, what's up, you half and word piece of blank. I want a blank in your mouth. I'm going to slap your blank mouth. Going to slap your real mother across the face. Laughter. I will kill you.
We all have some crazy urges from time to time, but you just can't act on them. You have to bury them way down deep inside. You have to say, get out of here, you crazy urges. You are not welcome in this brain of mine.
And now,
in tech news, supermodel Adriana Lima swiped right on your Tinder profile and said, damn,
our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It is the 27th of April.
What's up, you guys?
What's happening?
Allie, from here, it looks like you're wearing a hat that says KKK on it.
It couldn't be further from the truth.
Awkward? No, it's a king's hat.
Oh, isn't that so funny? I can only see the one side of it.
Interesting.
And it says KKK, and I thought, well, that's it. Now at least she's admitting it.
She's coming out in public.
We knew she hated black people, but now at least she's willing to stand behind it. So
I can't see what it – Kevin.
There's a single Z.
Yeah.
There's no.
You see a Z.
There's
he
no
sees
K or a K.
But remember, I'm seeing it from a very different angle than you are. I'm seeing it from above. So I'll try to. Huh. I'll snap a picture at some
okay.
point.
Okay,
that'd be great.
You can see.
Great.
Something to put on the posters. Anyway, how was everybody's weekend? I hear that Chip was terrorizing little kids. I hear that's what she did this weekend.
Yeah. That's what Chip does.
Yeah, but this time it involved lasers. Yep.
But Chip, they just assume you're one of them, right? When they meet you, it's not like it's an adult being mean to him. It's just a weird looking kid, right?
Well, it wasn't just me. It was me and Brad Williams.
That's a frightening duo.
Yeah.
Playing laser tag
and just destroying children.
That's so funny because from the parents that are watching, they're thinking, "Wow, those kids are good."
Suckers.
Monkey, what'd you do this weekend?
What did I do this weekend? I don't know. A lot of nonsense.
Good.
All right.
Some tomfoolery.
All right.
Ooh.
Hijinks?
I didn't quite get to hijinks. But
shenanigans?
Went to play some poker on Friday night.
Oh, bike. Yeah. How was that?
And that was fun. We had a really good time. I think Muggs won, and I'm pretty sure King of Mexico won.
Wow.
DJ Omar Khan was there. I'm sure they gave him some money. Who else was there? Oh, me. Oh, yeah.
Stryker was there, too.
I lost a lot. Oh, yeah. Stryker was there. And he won.
You lost a lot?
Well, I mean, one of us had to.
So everyone won but you, it sounds like.
Basically, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
But that happens. What are you going to do?
Yep. That's right. And Allie, you?
Great weekend. Lots of shenanigans. I left the house 3 times. So.
Wow.
I know.
Good for you.
Getting there.
Crazy person.
Getting there.
Well, we got a big show today, and I'm going to get us started with this story that I'm sure you saw on the news. It was everywhere. This is the two ladies who were lost in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. For 13 days, they were on their way to returning to Kalamazoo, Michigan after visiting some relatives. They're 52 and 56. I think they were cousins or sisters. I think they're sisters now that I think about it. So they, I don't know how this happened, but of course it's still very snowy in that part of Upper Michigan here in April. And somehow their SUV got stranded in the snow. And I don't know how I would react in this situation, but I don't think I would have the patience to follow the advice that they always give you, which is do not leave your vehicle.
Right.
Right.
After you're there for 6 hours, 10 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours, I would think, well, clearly they're looking for me, but they're not seeing where we're parked. So my thought would be I'm going to get out and start walking to at least try to get someplace where I can be out in the open where I'm more likely to be seen in the event that a helicopter comes by.
Right. And then maybe you head back and check in, see if there's anybody there, but then go back out and try and get someone's attention. That makes
right.
sense.
I mean, I just don't think I could sit there and just wait. Especially, you know, you can only keep your engine running for so long to stay warm in the car, and then you're just sitting in a dead cold car. And although you're protected from the elements to a certain extent, it's going to get pretty cold in there, and I just want to move around. Well, not only are Leslie and Lee smarter than I am, but they stayed in the vehicle and near the vehicle for 13 days
Ugh,
until they were rescued. These are women in their 50s, by the way. These are not Everest climbers. These are people who were just driving and got stuck in the snow and were lost for almost 2 weeks. Eventually, their 2010 white Ford Explorer was spotted on Friday by a Michigan State Police helicopter after the pilot noticed a glimmer off the car windshield. So he alerted everybody, hey, I think I got a vehicle. And the helicopter circled and then landed, and the women were there waving their arms to get his attention. So they survived. They did have on multiple layers of clothing. They were smartly rationing their food. They survived for 2 weeks, by the way, on cheese puffs and Girl Scout cookies.
All right.
Yeah.
Ah. I can second that. That's a good diet right there.
And my question for you, Allie, and for all women is, would you put up with being stranded in the snow for 2 weeks if it meant you could eat nothing but cheese puffs and Girl Scout cookies? Because I think a lot of women would take that deal.
If they were Samoas, hell yeah, I'd still be there. I'd be like, no, I'm good. Just check back in a couple weeks.
Because you do kind of get a pass. I mean, no one can blame you for not, you know, keeping an eye on your diet or something like that in that situation. So.
Nice.
Here's my favorite part. The sisters said they were approached by a bear on two separate occasions while they were in the car.
Wow.
They heard the noise out there. They knew it wasn't help because the rescuers would have flashlights, and they didn't. This was at night when a bear came up to their car. But how's that for a miracle story of survival? I mean, I would not have put the odds on good for two women in their 50s surviving in a snowstorm for almost two weeks.
That's crazy.
And of course, they were in a white vehicle.
Yeah.
Always.
Says the Klansman.
I'm saying you don't want to have a white car in a wintry place.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Snow is white. Yeah. What you're saying is snow is
That's
white.
That's what I was saying, which
and
is
the
right.
Vehicle is
that
white.
Snow is white, which is right, is what I'm saying.
That's right. If it ain't white, it ain't right, as I've heard you say so often. Right.
I want you to take a pic, because
I already took one. I'll send it to you guys.
I'm fascinated by that.
I've been busy doing a little radio show, but I'll send it to you guys.
All right, let's talk about this morning's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
Your head is enormous.
How does that relate? On the program today, we have Mama Mugs.
Yes.
The number one or worst, I don't know which we're going with, biggest or worst fan of the Dodgers. She's been a fan for a long time, and then they made some moves that she did not agree with, and she's very angry.
Look, here's the thing about Beer Mug's mom, is it doesn't matter how much in first place the Dodgers are, she's not satisfied.
Yeah.
If they ever lose a game, she's out for the season.
Not just a game, if they ever lose the lead in a game.
Right.
She's insane.
And that's just not how baseball works.
In baseball
works, you're going to lose a lot of games, because there are a lot of games to be played. It's okay.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Talking about all the celebrity news over the weekend. We have some highlights of the Bruce Jenner interview, which my man Bean brought in. I did not watch that because I sort of want to be surprised by it. But what were your overall thoughts, Bean?
The overall thoughts is everybody is in that situation that makes that decision. It's a difficult decision to come to. And I thought he was very brave, and I wish him nothing but success. I think Diane Sawyer did an excellent job with the interview by being very respectful and not exploitative. This would have been Allie, you saw it, right?
I did.
This would have been a very different interview had it been on, say, Fox or NBC, I think. But ABC handled it in a very classy way, a very educational way. And as much as I mocked it being 2 hours, they actually went beyond Bruce's story and kind of brought us up to speed with a lot of things in the transgender world. It was kind of fascinating and eye-opening.
We also have a little announcement this morning at 7:15.
Huh.
K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2015.
Yeah!
All the details you need at 7:15 this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Weenie roast? Weenie roast? Weenie roast? Weenie roast?
Not quite yet. 7:15. Almost there.
Weenie roast?
Almost there.
Weenie roast?
Weenie roast? All the details.
Weenie roast?
Weenie roast? Weenie roast?
Weenie roast?
7:15.
Weenie roast? Weenie roast?
Weenie roast? Hey, 7:15. Why don't we wait till 7:15 for that and do the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show with you right now instead?
I'm just playing the brain of people. That's all. Speaking of weenie roast, any word on worst thumb? Do they have a slot? Do we have a?
Do we have
a place on? Are we on the list? Are we off the list?
I have the official list, and it doesn't look like it's on there.
Son of a bitch!
But that's of course because it's a surprise.
Oh, I am going to burn that mother down. But
I got
go ahead. You.
I got an email from a record company today. Mm. Somebody sent me.
We're in. I'm in.
They're trying to get K-Rock to play a band called The Shining Stars that sent their new song, which is a cover of Badfinger's Day After Day.
No.
There's another Badfinger cover act out there.
Son of a bitches. It is on. We will meet you in the streets.
Yep. So apparently shining stars from England are trying to get in on some of this, how hot Badfinger is all of a sudden.
Shining stars?
Yeah.
What a name.
It's no worse thumb.
No worse thumb.
Worst
By the
thumb.
Way,
rules.
Official confirmation happened over the weekend. Just going to give you a heads up. Pat Smear in.
No!
Pat Smear is in. Worst thumb. He is good to go.
Pat Smear.
So I think we have our lineup.
Noodles.
Yeah, lineup?
Noodles. Chip, beer mug, and myself.
Okay.
Now, it seems like there's only one thing left to do, and that's to replace beer mug, right?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. Trust me. I'm working on it. Yeah.
All right.
In fact, look, Pat's got a smoking hot blonde wife who's a really good drummer, so I'm trying to convince her to come on board so we can boot beer mug over the side of the ship.
Done.
Over the worst thumb ship. But if there is such a thing. GSS worst thumb.
I think there's work for beer mugs selling worst thumb t-shirts
Absolutely.
Out in front of the venue or something.
Well,
right?
Not in front of the venue. In the parking lot. As people are leaving the parking lot.
Right.
Those one-offs that cost them like the dollar.
The bootleg merch down at the far end of the stadium.
That is great news, Ralph.
Yeah. So, and I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but I will be spending a little time with Dave Grohl as well this coming weekend.
Okay.
So I'm gonna pose it to him. Who knows? It could become a super group by the time it's all over.
Sure.
It's all said and done.
He's the kind of guy that if he has a schedule to do it, he would do that in a second. He just loves to play, right. And nonsense is better than anything.
He's super busy, so I don't expect him to get on board. But you never know. You don't know until you ask, right?
Correct. So and Grohl's so awesome, he might say, Ralph, I can't do it, but let me call Ringo, and we'll get him
yeah,
in.
Yeah, exactly. He used to know those guys. He knew Badfinger. Let's bring him in. So. Anyway, that was exciting news. So
right. it's all happening.
It's all happening. Now I just have to really start growing my hair hard.
Can you grow your hair hard?
Yeah, I go, okay. Just push some out, because I really need shoulder-length hair if I'm going to be a Pete Ham.
You might need to wig it.
Look-alike. Wigs!
Yeah.
I don't know how your cover bands work, sir, but mine are authentic.
That's no respect for real rock and roll, Kevin.
Boom! What that guy said.
You got about two, three weeks? How fast can you grow hair?
You can't push it out. That's, you're pooping right now.
No, that's right. I get confused sometimes between growing my hair and pooping. It is Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Furious 7, once again at number 1. Over even Age of Adeline, which was the new movie of the weekend. But Furious 7 made $18.3 million to be number 1. Then Kevin's people showed up in second place with Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. With $15.5 million.
That stayed in the top 10 for a second week?
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Top 2, dude.
Age of Adeline, as I mentioned, was new this weekend. $13.4 million made it number 3. Then Home, which is the animated kids movie from DreamWorks with Rihanna and Jim Parsons. I like that movie a lot. 4th at the box office. Unfriended was 5th. Unfriended, it's that horror movie about Facebook where the ghost of someone who died comes back through Facebook and just likes you to death. I don't know how it works exactly. Ex Machina. Ex Machina.
Anybody else see that? That was awesome.
Yeah?
That was a great movie.
I did not get a chance to see any movies over the weekend, but Ex Machina made $5.4 million.
I know. You're thinking, that's the guy that went to Paul Blart. Can I trust him? No, you can't, but
there's a lot of other people who say it's good, too, that you can trust.
It's getting raves.
Yeah.
It's great.
The Longest Ride was 7th. Get Hard was 8th. Monkey Kingdom, number 9. And Woman in Gold rounded out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We will talk more about it later, but of course the Bruce Jenner, Diane Sawyer interview happened on Friday night. Pulled in around 16.9 million viewers. Probably enough to make it the most viewed show of the week on network television.
Huge.
Huge numbers. Big audience. Bruce said a great many things in the 2 hours, but I was impressed by his overall good nature and his likability and the fact that he seems to really be at peace with himself. He said, my brain is much more female than it is male. I just can't pull the curtain any longer. Bruce lives a lie. She is not a lie regarding the woman inside him. So
you had the same feeling I do, which is just, God bless him for being strong enough to do this, and we wish him nothing but the best.
And I think he also did himself a world of good. He seems like a guy who's really, I think my fear is sometimes people who don't understand transgender issues in general think somehow that the person is broken and they're trying to fix themselves by doing this drastic change. But he seemed like a very cool, pulled together guy who is just decided he needs to be the most complete him he can be. Mm-hmm. And I think, Diane, sir, you're right. Bean handled it very well. I think it was
really
overall,
classy.
Overall, it was a win.
Kevin, you would have been very disappointed. Community. Very, very little time spent on whether he was going to cut his penis off or not.
Yeah, not a lot on that.
How dare you?
I would have liked Kevin to do that interview. Let's go back and have Kevin do a 2-hour interview with Bruce Jenner, who's transgender.
Penis.
That's all you'd say over and over again.
Question one.
Penis. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley. You want the best? You got the best.
Until you get kicked out of the band again.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. 64 years old today. Actress Ari Grainer. We love Ari Grainer. Hello? Hello? Is this thing on? We love Ari Grainer.
She's the best.
32 years old today. Patrick Stump, singer for Fall Out Boy. He is 31 years old today. Wienerust?
Not yet, man. 7:50.
And actress Jenna Coleman. Oh, she's the best. She's 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're about 45 to 50 minutes away from the information you have been waiting for. Details on K-Rock's Winnie Roast E-Fiesta 2015, 7:15 this morning here on K-Rock. Hey, Monday mornings mean we talk to our good friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in the newsroom. Harvey, thank you so much for the shout-out on the TV show last week, man. That was very cool of you.
Oh, no, you guys gave us a great story. Thank you.
It was a fun piece. You did a nice job with that. All right, let's talk about what you guys are interested in this week. I imagine you got tremendous action over the weekend with your Bruce Jenner coverage, right?
Yeah. Did you guys see it?
I did.
I thought it was great.
I did, too. It was. You know, we were talking about it a little bit ago. I mean, let me hear what you had to say about it first, Harvey.
It taught me a lot. This sounds almost trite, but whenever I did a story about transgenders or in my personal life, if I talked about it, it always started by looking at the person and kind of the cosmetic side first, and then you kind of try to understand. And when I watched him, I just thought to myself, I'm so glad he didn't do this in a dress or anything like that, because what you end up with is you understand him from the inside out. And I think that was a revelation, where it's not... this is not a cosmetic thing, and he said it was his soul, and you believe this so as you listen to it. I thought it was so incredibly powerful.
I did too, and I will tell you that he seemed. I mean, he was obviously very nervous about it. This is something he's never really said out loud to anybody other than close friends and family before. And you're just pulling for him to be comfortable enough to be able to go through with this, because he feels like he has been living a lie since he was a little boy. And, I mean, imagine how much stress there has been for the last 55 years or 60 years of his life having to tamp this down all the time. He has not been comfortable in his own skin since he was old enough to know what that meant.
No,
and you just
true.
Have to feel for him for that.
Totally feel for him, and also, you know, and also cheer for him now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe him when he said that he feels like he's going to save some lives, because he is so high profile. The fact that he is coming out and doing this so publicly, and it sounds like he's going to make this his mission statement. Kevin, he said at one point in the interview that he feels, and remember, this is a guy who's had tremendous success as an athlete, but he feels that maybe this is why God put him on this earth, is to make this his cause so that he can get out there and help others do this. I mean, that's what it sounds like he's going to dedicate the rest of his life to.
And by the way, I think he did save lives on Friday night. I think there are probably a lot of people struggling who watch this, and I think Bruce Jenner saved lives on Friday night. I really do.
And what's the number, Harvey, that we're being told there are around 700,000 transgender people?
Oh, I thought you meant the number.
No.
This is how bad I am. I'm thinking when you say what's the number, I'm immediately going to TV ratings.
Oh, the ratings, sure. And those were tremendous. But, I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who are going through this struggle right now. And, I mean, it reminds me so much of the way public opinion has evolved on race, the way it's evolved on sexuality, and now on gender identity.
It's the same thing. And, by the way, to me, one of the most fascinating parts of this, I loved the part on a completely different level when they asked him about Obama mentioning transgenders for the first time. A president's ever done it, and he blanched and said he was not a fan of Obama, and then Diane Sawyer looked so surprised and said, so you're a Republican? And he said, yeah. And she and then without saying it, without directly saying it, she said, how can you stay a Republican? And he said, I'm gonna. And I find that very interesting, because it will be fascinating to see how Republicans deal with this. He said he'd love to sit down with some of the leadership in Congress. It would be interesting to see how they deal with that.
I think they'll handle it well.
Yeah, they were talking about how they're, Diane brought up, hey, there are a lot of conservatives in this country who this may just be too far out for them. They just may not understand or support you for this. And he said to his credit, he's like, hey, I'll go talk to Mitch McConnell if that's what it takes. You know what I mean? I'm going to do my part. It was funny, though, that she's not surprised he wants to be a woman, but shocked that a Hollywood actor would be a Republican, right? All right, we're on the phone with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We do have highlights, by the way, of audio from the Bruce Jenner interview coming up at 7 o'clock this morning here on Carrie. Let's talk about one other thing, Harvey, while we have you on the phone, because you broke this story for me over the weekend about John Jones, the UFC fighter. What's going on there?
Yeah, he is a suspect in Albuquerque in a hit and run involving a pregnant woman, and he is in trouble with the UFC. They are going to suspend him on this thing, and they're doing it because he's had a lot of problems before. I mean, he not too long ago got a suspension for apparently they found cocaine in his system. He's had a DUI a couple of years ago, and I think he's been a problem. And so they've taken this action.
He's going to fight, I think, Rumble Johnson. When is that fight, and is this going to affect that?
Oh, I don't think he's going to do it.
He's not going to fight him.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen now.
Oh.
Now, again, he has not been charged, but they want him for questioning, and they're telling us that he's a suspect.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. Look, he's innocent until proven guilty. I don't know the details of the story, but the fact that he was involved apparently in this accident and didn't stick around for it doesn't make me feel good about it.
Well, and again, we can't say he did that. We know cops believe that. I can't even say they believe he did it. I mean, look, he's a suspect in it, but they haven't charged him. They haven't arrested him. But it seems like, you know, with everything on top of everything, the UFC just can't tolerate it.
Gotcha. All right, fair enough. We'll definitely keep our eyes on that because he's one of the best UFC fighters there is. You can get all the details on these stories and so much more at TMZ.com. Look for TMZ all over your TV on Fox Channel 11 and TMZ Hollywood Sports airs Monday through Friday at 3 on the Reels channel. Harvey, great talk, man. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 651.
Not yet, Ralph. Not yet. 715. Here's what we're going to do. Just after 7.
Half hour.
Ralph. 715. Hey. Just after 7, we'll play some highlights from the Bruce Jenner interview with Diane Sawyer on Friday night, and then we'll give you all the details you need to know for the K-Rock Winnie Rose Fiesta 2015. So I promise you, all of those things happening in the next half hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Can't wait.
I know.
You sound like Chris Griffin there for a minute.
Can't wait. You just want to hear if Worst Thumb is on the lineup. That's all. That's why you're tuning in.
Come on, Worst Thumb. Katy Perry, Worst Thumb. Katy Perry, Worst Thumb. Just what I shoot for one of these days.
Who's going to get the sit-down interview, the first and only?
That's right.
Beer Mug?
I want to see Muggs interview you guys.
Me, myself, I have a bad finger. No, somehow he'd bring it back to him. I hit myself with a hammer once while I was hanging a picture in my apartment.
It wasn't a thumb, but it was a finger.
It was bad, so I miss my old apartment where I lived by myself.
Yeah, Muggs won't have any questions for you or the band.
No, he won't. Just bring it back to him. How about, speaking of Muggs, how about tickets? Oh, he's not going to be at this event. Never mind. How about tickets to the K-Rock Microbrew at Santa Anita?
Yay!
Big deal, big fun. It's going to be the Kentucky Derby Day Party at Santa Anita Saturday, featuring a performance from Seedless. Besides that, you get to bet on the ponies. There's tons to drink and eat. It's a good time. All winners must be 21 years of age or older to get into this event. The infield opens at 11 a.m. there at Santa Anita in beautiful Arcadia, California. If you'd like to go, I've got a 4-pack of VIP tickets to the Microbrew Festival. That includes VIP admission for 4, so you and 3 friends get to go and enjoy backstage access, 4 drink tickets, and a $106 that you get to bet on the ponies via a voucher from Santa Anita. So go out and hang out with Stryker and Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Lightning, Super Steve, Nicole Alvarez, and Miss Double December herself. We'll all be there this Saturday at the K-Rock Microbrew Fest. Give me a call, 1-800-520-1067. And since it's for 4 people, how about caller number 4? Let's do it that way. Easy there, shared belief. sure believe is hurt. It makes me sad.
Yeah, me too.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Furious 7, no surprise, still number one. $18.3 million additional dollars.
You know what I heard this weekend, Ralph?
What?
Fast and the Furious 7.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5 on the all-time worldwide box office list.
Yeah, just cleared $1 billion worldwide.
$1.3 billion it's up to now.
Yeah.
Number 5 all-time.
$1.3 billion.
That's all. It's been out for, what, 17 days?
That's all. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Same, right? Same success.
$15.5 million. Made it number 2. Age of Adeline. Made its debut. The new Blake Lively comedy about a woman who never gets old.
I don't think it's a comedy.
It's pretty funny to me. $13.4 million. Home and Unfriended were the top 5 movies at the box office. Ex Machina. Came in at number 6.
Kevin, like, that robot run into a clean piece of glass?
No, it did not. It would have been better that way. That was awesome. See that movie. That's a good one right there. And don't discount it just because I went to Paul Blart. Because I could be wrong about Paul Blart and right about this.
You could be.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I know you're not right about Paul Blart, so okay. You got to be right about something. Ex Machina.
It was awesome.
I always feel like Schwarzenegger when I say that title of that film. Yeah, Ex Machina. Robots.
How's our little friend Oscar Isaac, Kevin, in the movie?
He is a dick and awesome.
He's a great
actor. Supposed to be like he's the awesome smartest dick guy in the world. He comes up with the AI. He's just fantastic.
How's the robot sex?
I didn't want to talk about it around. Because
people can't see you nod at the camera, Kevin. This is radio.
He's too interested in
yeah.
They're pretty hot. They're pretty hot chicks. Robots. Hot chick robots.
We don't want to deal with bean arousal. Yeah, it's bad news. Longest Ride was 7th. Get Hard was 8th. Monkey Kingdom was 9th. And Woman in Gold was number 10.
What?
It's true. Speaking of movies and Furious 7, no surprise here. Vin Diesel told the folks at CinemaCon in Vegas over the weekend that number 8 will be out in theaters on April 14th, 2017. So you will get an 8th movie at least in that franchise. Meanwhile, they've announced that 50 Shades of Grey's sequel will come out in 2017. 50 Shades Darker. The second movie in the trilogy will be out in February of that year, so you get to enjoy that. And while we're talking movies, did you see the picture over the weekend of the first look of Jared Leto as the Joker for Suicide Squad?
Yes.
Yep. Soccer hooligan Joker, as some people are calling him. Some people think it's disappointing. Other people are unhappy.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Come on.
It looked really loud. I couldn't hear it, but I thought if it had a sound, it would be loud.
Look, here's the only thing I didn't really have much of an opinion on the makeup and costume, but the only thing I'll say is I thought no one could top Nicholson as the Joker.
Right.
And then Heath Ledger came and just destroyed that and became the greatest Joker ever.
Right.
So I'll just wait and see, I guess, how Jared Leto handles it. Maybe a great Joker.
Comedian Paul Scheer tweeted over the weekend. He said, I'm just happy to live in a country where people are more accepting of Bruce Jenner changing his sex than they are of Jared Leto's The Joker.
That's true.
And I am with him. I think we live in a golden age right now. You know, prom season's coming up, kids. Prom season. You have your prom dates? Everybody have your prom dates for the big prom? Hello? Is this thing on?
Well, I don't think people can talk back to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was talking to you guys.
Oh.
Aren't you guys going to the prom?
No, we're not this year.
Really?
No, I can't.
I'm going.
Couldn't get a date.
Top 10 best prom movies. This morning's list. Best prom movies.
Just skip
movies
to
featuring
one.
The best prom. You don't know.
Oh, I know.
You don't know. Oh, I'm telling you right now, you don't know what number one is.
I bet it involves Ducky.
It better.
Doesn't.
Then don't read it.
That's what I'm telling you. You don't know.
You keep that list to yourself.
You keep that stupid list us.
Here is your top 10 prom movies. Movies with prom moments that rock the world. You want to take any guesses before we get going?
Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink is on the list, Freak Show Alley. But it's third. It's third on the list. Pretty impressive.
How about...
You know, really, if you may, wouldn't it be awesome if you could shoot a video of, like, Ducky, like, looking at you and then, like, looking to himself, like, guessing whether you went to dance with him or something.
Nobody
and
would.
Then he would walk away.
It's hurtful.
It'd be so cool if you could recreate that moment with John Cryer.
It's hurtful.
But sometimes it doesn't happen.
No,
the
first it happened.
First one I thought of, Ralph, was Carrie.
Carrie.
Oh,
not a really upsell for her.
No, but a famous prom movie scene, right?
Yeah, it's okay. Not in the top 10, but all right. You go sit down over there.
Really? Carrie is not in the top 10?
Try not to murder anyone on the way to your seat, won't you, please? You freak. Let's have a, how about Uppy? How about great prom moments? Not pig's blood, murder, death prom moments.
How about...
Jesus. Lord.
If I remember it correctly, how about Napoleon Dynamite?
Okay. You just, no, go sit down.
Okay. I'm not allowed to play anymore.
Let the grown-ups play over here.
The one with Freddie Prinze Jr. and he makes the girl pretty. And then they go to the prom. She's All That.
She's All That. Number four on the list, Allie McKay. You've hit three and four so far.
Good times.
This might be your wheelhouse. This might be your bailiwick.
First of all, I don't know what that word means.
Me neither.
Second of all, no movies are coming to my mind.
What? You have no prom movies in your head whatsoever.
Nope. Oh, it's not a category.
Oh, all right, Dave. God. Christine is way. Our assistant producer, Christine from the other room, is weighing in with a couple of guesses. Let's see how she does. Footloose.
Footloose number seven on the list. Oh. One of the great prom moments in cinema history. They finally get to dance in that town. Against the law to dance.
Why are you yelling at us?
Because it's such an exciting moment. John Lithgow's like, Kevin Bacon's like, boom, 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 boom. Come on.
How about American Pie?
American Pie, not in the top 10.
Twilight.
Twilight, not in the top 10.
Grease.
Grease?
Grease.
Number six.
Nice.
Number six, Grease. Of course, prom night in Grease, a big deal.
Can't Buy Me Love.
Can't buy you love. Can't buy you can't buy you a slot on this list. Boom.
Boom. I feel like Bean is now Googling.
I'm not. These are all coming from Christine.
Have you ever heard of a movie called Prom?
No.
That's number five on the list.
Okay.
Prom.
From 2011. Prom was the name of the movie.
Beer Mug weighs in with Never Been Kissed.
Never Been Kissed. Number eight.
Oh, there you go.
Well done, Beer Mug. You're better than all the people in this room.
There is.
Rarely we get a chance to say that about Beer Mug. What's that? I'm sorry, Allie McKay.
Sorry. I don't know if there was a prom
involved,
but it was high school.
I didn't hear you. Could you repeat, please?
10 Things I Hate About You.
Number one on the list.
Oh, I don't win any. Okay.
We're not playing Family Feud.
It was a painful win.
10 Things I Hate About You was number one on the list.
Turn my headphones down a little bit.
That was piercing.
Man, that hurt.
Number two, Mean Girls. Of course, Mean Girls on the list.
Oh, I'm so mad!
Pretty in Pink, as we mentioned, was number three. She's All That. Four, Prom, the movie no one ever heard of, was fifth. Well, the kids. The kids made this list. What do we know?
They had to include that just because it's named Prom.
I guess so. Yeah. Grease was sixth. Footloose was seventh. Never Been Kissed was eighth. This you're gonna kick yourselves when you hear this one because you're like, oh sure, it was the crux of this film, the linchpin, the thing that changes everything in this movie happens at a prom.
Oh, Weird Science.
No,
that wasn't a prom. That was just a dance.
Right.
Hmm.
I'll give you another hint. The theme was Under the Sea at this prom.
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Omar just said in my headphones.
Well done, Kevin Ryder. Not only does everything happen there, but Marty invents rock and roll.
That's right.
On stage. That's right. Yeah.
That's significant.
In front of Chuck Berry's cousin.
That is significant.
That is significant. Your kids are going to love it. Hey, Chuck, it's your cousin Marvin Berry. He says into the phone. Remember that sound we were looking for? Love that movie. And number 10, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Mr. Han.
There's your top 10 prom movies of all time.
No Carrie, though. No peace.
Runners-up include Carrie, Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Sure.
American Pie, Twilight. But they didn't make the top 10.
It's a good list.
Good list. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ace Frehley of Kiss is 64 years old today. Ari Grainer is 32. Patrick Stump, Fall Out Boy singer, he is 31. And actress Jenna Coleman, you know her as the companion to the Doctor. 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
10 minutes away from all the details on the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015.
Ooh, tell me.
10 minutes away. About 10 minutes away.
K Kevin, you did not watch Bruce Jenner's interview with Diane Sawyer Friday night.
That's correct.
Obviously, it's a two-hour show. We're going to condense it down in just a couple minutes of the highlights for folks who missed it. But my biggest takeaway was this. How can anyone be a good enough athlete to win the freaking decathlon? My God, right? Is that an unbelievable thing.
Wait, that's your takeaway from the two-hour?
I may have missed the point of the interview, but they were showing all this footage they spent quite a bit of time on talking about Bruce Jenner in his early years and growing up and being a star athlete and lettering in all these sports and then going out and winning the decathlon in 76 and becoming the world's best athlete. But, Allie, weren't you surprised to see him high jumping and pole vaulting and javelin throwing? And
the video insane. Of him as an athlete was just – and I think there was obviously a reason to putting that in was to show you even the manliest of men can be struggling with something like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll hear in this first clip, Bruce Jenner actually kind of makes a reference to the fact that being Bruce Jenner, I mean, his journey is different from anybody else who's going through the transgender experience because of his celebrity and his fame and because of, as Ali said, this impression that people have of him of being a certain way. But as he sat down with Diane, even before the interview officially started, you could tell he was already choking up. It was going to be a tough night for him to hold back the tears.
Okay, where do we start? One thing that's so important in this whole process, okay, is we have to keep our sense of humor about this, okay? It's honestly, it's really pretty funny. Me, of all people, okay, Bruce Jenner, you know, has to deal with these issues, literally running away from all of this stuff.
And it's interesting, when he said that, I was thinking, you know, he feels like he's got this image to live up to around the world. He's Bruce Jenner. He can't do this. But, of course, he can't not do this. So here he is explaining his lifelong feeling of what it's like to feel like a woman, even though you're in a man's body, and how he explains it to his kids and others.
I would say I've always been very confused with my gender identity since I was this big.
The simple explanation he gave his children.
I tried to explain it because I've had all my kids sitting in that chair. God's looking down, making little Bruce. He's looking down and he says, okay, what are we going to do with this one? Make him a smart kid, very determined, and he gave me all these wonderful qualities. And then at the end, when he's just finishing, he goes, wait a second. We got to give him something. Everybody has stuff in their life that they have to deal with, you know? What are we going to give him? And God looks down and chuckles a little bit and goes, you know, hey, let's give him the soul of a female, and let's see how he deals with that.
By the way, after giving him that lifelong struggle, how did God also give him Kris Jenner? Doesn't that seem like too much on one man?
That's a strange way to explain it.
I liked it,
you know,
because
I mean?
He has all these things that are wonderful that he thinks are – it made life easy for him. Mm-hmm. But there was that one thing that he had been struggling with while he's winning gold medals, while he's living this life, while he's at the Playboy Mansion, while he's got –
making millions of dollars as a motivational speaker.
Yeah. And he's got this amazing life, but – you know what? Let's give him something that will shape him.
Right,
is essentially
exactly
what it was.
I was surprised Diane brought this up because I don't think anybody has seriously suggested. Well, maybe at the beginning when we first heard that Bruce Jenner was going to turn into a woman, people thought, well, those Kardashians will do anything for TV ratings, won't they? And Diane did bring it up that there have been people who have suggested that this is all some sort of stunt.
We told him there's a lot of skepticism among people watching him tonight. People who
are convinced that this is a stunt to promote the show.
Oh, no. We would never do that, Diane. Are you telling me I'm going to go through a complete gender change, okay, and go through everything you need to do that for the show? Sorry, Diane. It ain't happening, okay?
Sounds like Bruce Endicott, by the way, from Coffee. I don't know if he does. Another question a lot of people have asked is, look, you're 65 years old. Aren't you kind of over it by now? Doesn't it seem like that's a little bit too late to start out life as a woman?
Why now? I just can't pull the curtain any longer, okay? I've built a nice little life. I just can't. Again, Bruce lives a lie. She is not a lie. I can't do it anymore.
By the way, when he talks about she, this is his future female self, who he would not reveal the name of, by the way. We heard the tabloid rumors a couple months ago that it was going to be Belinda. That hasn't been confirmed by Bruce Jenner. And he also, in case you're wondering, you know, because pronouns are very important when you're talking about a transgender person, he is fine with being called a he as of right now. He has not requested that we refer to him as a she yet. And when he says her and she, he's talking about his future self. Here's an interesting point that I think a lot of people may have been exposed to for the first time on the Friday night Diane Sawyer interview, which is the confusion that many of us have between a person's gender identity and his or her sexuality. And I think Bruce did a great job of describing that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, is he gay?
Yes. Are you gay?
No, I'm not gay. I am not gay. I am, as far as I know, heterosexual.
You don't know.
Because it's not.
As far as you know,
I've never been with a guy. I've always been married, you know, raising kids.
Right. And you can desire a woman every bit as much.
Yeah.
He's almost amused by my attempt to walk through this maze.
Again, it's the confusion inside this, because if you are, say, male and you become female, but you like women, are you a lesbian?
You're going back to the sex thing, and it's apples and oranges. There's two different things here. Sexuality is who you are personally attracted to, who you, you know, turns you on, male or female. But gender identity is how to do with who you are as a person and your soul and who you identify with inside.
Did you see the graphic that they put up?
Which one?
Which I thought was amazing. They said sexuality is who you go to bed with, mm-hmm. and gender identity is who you go to bed as.
Yeah.
I thought was a great, easy way just for people to kind of wrap their head around it.
I really do think, as you know, as high profile as Bruce Jenner is and as much attention as this interview got, it was hugely rated on Friday night, 17 million people. And we'll be hearing more about, you know, his journey going forward. I do think that this is a real teaching moment for a lot of us here in America. I think we're learning a lot about this.
I have a question. Yes. And I don't mean to be insulting at all. If he is going to be a female and he's mm-hmm. attracted to women, why is the lesbian question wrong or...
He doesn't consider it's not, I mean, look, it's up to, for him to decide. He doesn't consider himself a lesbian. He considers himself attracted to women with the body that he has now. I don't know. He doesn't know what's going to happen in the future.
Okay.
Yeah. He also has never been with a man, doesn't have any desire to be with a man, but also considers himself asexual at this point and may not be with a woman. I mean, he wouldn't even address the possibility of maybe getting married in the future.
Okay.
You know, he doesn't know. Maybe, you know, I guess he'll learn as he goes what feels good and what he wants to do. Last answer from Bruce Jenner. And Kevin, you knew they had to ask, you know, the surgery. You know, he's been taking the hormones on and off for decades. He's got breasts. He's growing the hair. He's had the Adam's apple shaved down. What about that last day on the surgical table?
If you're living your life female, as Chloe would say, you got to have the vajayjay.
But he wants to be clear. He has not decided anything yet.
Those are all things that are out there in the future for me to explore.
You don't know.
There's no rush for that. And I would do it so quietly, nobody in the world would ever know. I am not shooting any of this. I'm not filming anything. To me, it's very degrading. At this point, as far as the term SRS, sexual reassignment surgery, would be down the line.
I think I'm with Bruce Jenner at this point. I'm gonna hold off on cutting off my penis. I think that's right for me as well.
I also think he needs to sit with a lot of this right now. You know,
yeah, I can see that.
And people will say, you know, you're 65. Come on. You've had your whole life to think about it. But these are huge decisions. And he's made every single one now in the public eye.
That's right.
Let's just let him have whatever he needs to do from now on.
Yeah.
To himself.
I am, as we said earlier, I'm totally rooting for him, though, obviously. And everybody who finds him or herself in that situation, Godspeed. I hope it goes well for him.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with all the details of K-Rock's Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
All right, well, I mean, we're a little late. I'm not sure that you need to riot like the guy on Twitter just said. I'm not positive that's needed.
No Weenie Roast, no peace? Is that what's happening now?
I say we riot.
Well, come on, man. Tell us what's going on, dude.
Isn't we supposed to be having a fiesta?
Orale!
K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015, Saturday, May 16th, Irvine Meadows Amphitheater.
No one's gonna take me alive.
Muse.
I'm the greatest guy, and now I'm dead inside. Will not fall
of Monsters and Men.
So listen to the word I say.
Florence and the Machine. Death Cab for Cutie.
K-Rock When You Roast Fiesta 2015. Panic at the Disco. AWOL Nation.
Come on,
Vance Joy. Cold War Kids. Time Low, Big Data, Saint Motel, James Bay, X Ambassadors. K-Rock We Roast Fiesta 2015. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Friday at noon. Proceeds benefit Eagle the Bay and Surfrider Foundation. Details at krock.com.
So there you go. It is the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2015. Just announced. And Muse is here in the studio.
Hey,
with us.
What?
Come on.
Muse, oh, yeah. Hold on a second.
We're here. We're back.
The band Muse that we just heard is playing the show May 16th. Two of the three are here in the studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Two-thirds of Muse.
Two-thirds. Uh-huh. The majority.
That's true.
That I guess it's a cover band title.
Two-thirds of Muse.
So the two-thirds voting majority decided to come in today, so we appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
we voted
you, guys.
Yes, for K-Rock.
So we have Matt and we have Dom, and as you sat down, Matt, I believe you said you don't think, and I think you're right, you guys have ever played the K-Rock Weenie Roast
yeah,
before.
Yeah, we just worked that out. Yeah, we did the Inland Invasion a bunch of years ago, like Absolution, like 2003 or something. Yeah,
right.
And then we've done Acoustic Christmas at least two or three times. And every time I remember the Killers being there, I think.
Every time.
I remember, every time I remember watching the Killers going, damn, they're good. And first time. Looking very much forward to it. Yeah, very excited.
The Weedy Roast is so much fun.
Is it weird for you as a band that plays on a lot of different festivals to think about going after another band? Or like the Killers you just mentioned are great live. They are great live. Is it strange for you to think about who you're going to follow or who's going to follow you or how that all works out?
It's a bit weird sometimes, yeah. I mean, you just try and like, forget about it and do your own thing. But I remember last year when we played Coachella, we were playing before Queens of the Stone Age, and I was like, oh, damn.
Really?
Do we have to?
You need Coachella. We're playing after them, weren't we?
Yeah, they played just before us. So I was like, oh,
I agree.
God.
That was the most.
Do we really have to play after Queens of the
Stone Age? That was most threatening.
Yeah. Because I went to see them as well, and they were like, obviously, excellent. So yeah. I was like, oh,
it was like almost embarrassed to go on after
them. They're also unusually loud. You guys notice that? Like, when you see them, they're louder than any band.
Seriously loud, yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah, they got loud amps on stage, yeah.
Was there ever a time when you guys. Well, first of all, was there ever a time that you guys were an opening act?
Was it? We were way back, yeah. We opened up, the first US tour we ever did, it was a great tour. We were lucky enough to be the opening act first on, and then it was Foo Fighters, and then it was Chili Peppers.
Wow.
It was the Californication tour, 99, you know?
Wow.
And we just did the East Coast, so we didn't come over here. And,
but that's really where we
cut our teeth, and we looked up to both those bands and thought, wow, we need to up our game here, you know? So.
And does the opening act, even when you're playing for a massive band that you love so much, like Foo Fighters, do you go in there and go, I'm gonna blow this audience away. I'm going to be better than the headliners?
You try your best, you know what I mean? But it was right at that point. That was the first album, wasn't it? So Showbiz was like when we were still sort of finding ourselves, really, and it was when we were writing the album Origin of Symmetry, which was our second album, and that was very much inspired by being on that tour and seeing those guys playing those sort of big riffs and wanting to get the crowd going, you know. So we started jamming out riffs for the first time on that tour, and that's where we kind of found the heavier side of our sound.
Did you then sit back and go, okay, Foo Fighters, this is ridiculous, because they're one of the best live bands. They literally are one of the best live bands ever.
Yeah, no, it's such a what an amazing bill. I mean, and then Peppers as well was phenomenal. Yep. You know, just amazing musicianship, and both great bands, and we were so lucky to have that experience so early on.
Why do you have your hoodie on? What's up with that?
I'm actually kind of weirdly cold.
It's freezing in here. That's why.
It is a little cold in here.
I've become fully Californianized, you know, because they say that when you've lived it for like a year or two, you start to get chilly all the time.
It dips below 80, and you're like, this is freezing.
It's crazy.
And that's crazy for an English person, so I'm used to freezing cold misery.
Speaking of the early tours, I was thinking about this because you guys are getting ready to have a summer where you play. I mean, a show like the Weenie Roast may be one of the smallest dates you play this summer because you're playing all the big festivals, right, including the big one in Japan and everything. So you're going to be playing for hundreds of thousands of people this summer. How different is that from this spring where you guys have been playing some of the smallest venues that you've played in your career? Tell me about that club tour you did in the UK.
It was amazing. It was great. I mean, we haven't played some of those venues for, like, I don't know, like 15 years or something like that.
Wow.
So it was just, we just wanted to do like a small tour and kind of rock out, you know. So the set list is pretty heavy. We pulled out a bunch of like older tracks, B-sides, things we haven't played for years, and it was great. The crowd went mental, didn't they?
It was great.
They really kicked off. Like, they just erupted. Like, you know, things like the end of Knights of Cydonia, before the riff, when it builds up and the riff kicks in, you know, there was like huge circles of death, circle pits, or whatever you want to call them. You know, everyone's running around and then they all pile into each other and kick each other's heads in. But
it must be nice.
It was fun, though. It was a great tour.
To go back and do that and play songs that you haven't played in forever, or maybe haven't played ever.
Totally.
And just seeing that reaction.
Oh, that's the best thing ever, yeah. Because you can actually see everyone's, you can see everyone right up close, you know, so you really kind of get this intimate feeling. And it was a great excuse to play all these old B-sides. But in the words of Bon Jovi, you know, what is it? I've seen a million faces, and I rocked them all.
Yeah, that one. That is
beautiful. Sweet.
That is a great lyric. I did some maths. I think we're playing to 2 million people this year, so we're going to rock 2 million faces all right. this year. So we're going to beat Bon Jovi. So, you guys, I mean, it sounds like you kind of miss. You're doing these huge shows all over the world, but there's some part of you that kind of misses being a club band, right?
Well, it's been so long, you know. It's been a long time, you know. A few years ago, I just said the opposite. I said, "No, we love all these, you know, the big crowds and everything," but we just wanted to reconnect. What was it? We did this gig. It was a charity gig, wasn't it, in London, Shepherd's Bush Empire, the way it was only, like, say, 1,500 people. And we just kind of forgot what that energy feels like. So we just wanted to do a little warm-up tour to remind ourselves of what it's like to be that close to the fans, you know? But
is it, in a way, a little bit disturbing that you can see all of them? Because when you're on stage...
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say disturbing. It definitely makes you up your game more. Because you feel everyone can see exactly what you're doing up close. And so you just feel a bit more under the microscope, you know what I mean?
These are the voices of Matt and Dom from the band Muse, longtime K-Rock favorites. They are playing the Weenie Roast coming up just in less than a month or so. You can get all the details at krock.com. And the new Muse album is going to be called Drones. That one is coming out on June 9th. We have many questions about that with our guests when we return right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2015 is Saturday, May 16th. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon, and it's all-time low in AWOL Nation and Big Data and Florence and the Machine and of Monsters and Men and Panic at the Disco and Vance Joy and Walk the Moon
and the band Muse, one of the bands playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast E Fiesta. Matt and Dom from the band in studio with us here on K-Rock this morning. Good to see you again, boys.
Thank you.
I mentioned Drones, which is coming out on June 9th here in the U.S. We've been playing a couple of songs from it. By the way, let's talk about Psycho for starters, because that was the first taste we got of the new album. Is this the biggest riff you guys have ever written? This is like your Back in Black, isn't it?
It's definitely the least expensive riff we've ever played. That's quite a way of saying cheapest. It's actually a very old riff. It turns out we've been playing that riff for about 15 or 16 years or something.
What?
It never
made it into a song before?
It goes way back. Yeah, it was a riff we always used to just play at like the end of like Stockholm Syndrome or something like that, and just kind of jam out on it and smash up all the gear. That's what we used to do. So I don't know. It's always just been a favourite. Kind of riff, I suppose.
Well,
so, yeah,
I know you guys talked about how when you were playing that song at these club shows that, I mean, you can just see the audience move en masse. There's something about that kind of guitar playing that just makes everybody jump, right?
Oh, yeah, it totally kicks off. Yeah, it's the best reaction to a new song I've ever seen in a live setting, you know? Straight off the bat, the crowd just kicks off. Massive. Well, they all sing the riff, which is kind of...
Nobody sings the words. All the lyrics.
They all just go...
Do you ever go, hey, there are lyrics to this song?
I worked hard on these.
Just listen to that.
I suddenly realized we could actually all stop playing and I could actually just sing the song over them singing the riff.
Oh, pretty good.
That's very
cool.
All right, so that was Psycho, and then and somebody's got a lot of enjoyment out of using the F word in that song. I'd like to also point that out. And then comes Dead Inside, which has been a huge, huge record here on K-Rock and around the world. And I guess when we get to hear the album, those songs will fit together as part of an album-long narrative, as I understand it.
Yeah, there's kind of a loose... No, actually, it's a pretty specific narrative, actually. It runs through the first part of the album. It kind of ends on this song called Aftermath, and... Yeah, it kind of follows a journey. I mean, the album's kind of it's a bit dark, you know. It's not kind of morning chat, but it's kind of about the journey into becoming a psychopath, you know, and losing empathy, and kind of it's kind of like a metaphor for what's happening in the world, you know, drone warfare and all this kind of stuff that's going on, where it's kind of becoming acceptable to sort of live without empathy, becoming very clinical, efficient, making decisions without emotion, taking humans out of the equation, basically. And the kind of the album sort of explores that journey in its sort of darkest format.
Does it bum you out that a lot of people won't get that? I'm a guy who loves music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I couldn't tell you words to most songs.
Yeah, no, I'm not bothered by that at all. I think for me the music speaks for itself. In other words, a lot of the time I'm throwing words in there that to me are trying to give some meaning to what the music is already saying.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, so, that makes sense.
So is this a topic, this lack of empathy that you're talking about, is this something that you guys looked at as this is a good topic for a group of songs, or is this something that you spend a lot of time thinking about and worrying about and are making comment on?
That's a good question. I mean, I've always been interested in what's going on in the world. I'm more interested in what's going on in sort of technology and stuff like that. I'm one of those geeky types that reads like science magazines and things like that. We are kind of living, weirdly enough, in this time where like Terminator 2 type stuff is actually happening.
Yeah.
If you go, there's a bunch of news articles out now and campaigners out because drones are about to become autonomous. You know, where they make kill decisions without humans.
What could go wrong?
It sounds like ridiculous sci-fi stuff, but that is actually being debated now. And it's kind of like an ethical thing, I guess. So I just you know, when I was struggling to write lyrics, I just thought I'll sing about that. You know, I mean, that'll do.
All right. More importantly, though, than drones, your thoughts on robot sex? Are you for or against it?
Totally in favor, as always.
Okay,
as always.
We're on the same page there.
Yeah, yeah. So long as Dom
robot
humans
sex?
Behind the controls somewhere.
Sure, I'm into it. I'll watch. I'll watch anything.
Watch it. Is there any danger of people thinking songs about... Because people don't expect much out of the rock bands these days. We're well past an era where most artists are political. Most people don't write about things like that anymore. Is there any danger, do you think, of some fans saying, wow, these guys are going off the deep end, or these guys are pretentious, or who cares what these guys think about that?
Do you ever worry
about how it's received?
No, there's no danger. There's no risk whatsoever in anything to do with this kind of job. You know what we're talking about? You know, the danger is getting guns and going out to... That's dangerous.
Language.
I mean, sorry about that. But there's no risk at all. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Someone says, I don't like that.
Right.
Yeah. I've had worse days.
Well, a drone strike, I think, is the worst that could happen.
Yeah, there you go. Possibly.
I mean, technically.
Yeah. An autonomous drone strike. Yeah. Okay. We'll start looking at my back window.
Well, I can only guess what some of these song titles, because again, we haven't heard the record yet. It comes out here in the U.S. on June 9th. We're talking with the band Muse about their album Drones. I can only guess what some of these song titles are. For instance, when I see JFK, for instance, I go, all right, I'm curious now. You got my attention.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's actually, we managed, I don't know how we pulled it off, we managed to get permission to use a sort of JFK speech, actually, that was, and we put some music to it. It's basically him talking about, at the time, he was talking about the rise of communism and basically how, you know, America and the press and everyone needs to kind of work together to try and stop these forces of, you know, bureaucrats and so on taking over our freedoms and so on. But when you look at the when you read the speech in modern times, it has a very, you know, it has a context that relates very much to the world we live in now.
Isn't that interesting that part of your job that day was contacting somebody's presidential museum to get permission to hey, that's weird.
Yeah, that was a good part of the album. Yeah, it was definitely
Do you guys have to sort of feel do you feel the emotion when you wrote it later when you're playing it? And that was a poorly asked question. Can I take that again?
I think you should.
Sure. All right. When you write a song, you're in one place. Then when you perform it, maybe it's a year or two later.
Yeah.
Can you still tap into that place?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have
to? Totally, yeah, yeah. It's songs to me feel like little moments in time that are captured, like a memory, like a photograph or something. And every time you revisit it, it brings that memory back. You know?
And then I want to ask Dom, what is it like for you to play those songs? Because you may not have necessarily been in the mind space that he is.
Yeah.
You may never be in that mind space. I don't know.
You don't want to be, trust me.
I think, you know, you always tune in to... I suppose the emotion of the song to a degree when we're playing. But what's nice is, you know, I think songs change. You know, you kind of if you haven't played a song for a long time and you come back to it, it feels very different to how it might have felt when you actually recorded it or first started performing it. And you can kind of start to see it in a different way, or can kind of I don't know. It has like a
like a fresh, you can see it with like fresh eyes, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's so fun to watch your band change throughout the years. I mean, we remember so well when your first album came out. We were all so excited. Who's this new band, Muse? And now here you are with your seventh album getting ready to come out. I mean, it must feel weird for you guys, too, to be veterans now.
Yeah, I didn't think of the gun this
veterans.
One. Jesus.
Okay. Do we have to use that word?
We don't have to use the word veterans. No, I mean.
No, look, we've got at least another very respectable 10 years, I think.
I certainly well, hope. Hey, you were telling us how you saw AC/DC at Coachella. Those guys are still going, what? They've got to be pushing 70.
Yeah,
they're
I thought
still
that would have been
rocking hard, right?
I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Yeah, it sounded amazing. His voice is just ridiculous, isn't it? I
mean, yep.
And the guitar playing and everything. When he came out with the horns, what's that song with the horns? When he's got the horns on his head. You know, all the fire came out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not Highway to Hell. It's the other one to do with hell or flames or something.
It
was just, I was actually in there. I was in hell. Like, you know, rocking out with Bill Hicks, basically.
Well, it gives you something to aspire to in your later years. We're so excited about the new record coming out on June 9th. It's called Drones. We're even more excited about getting a chance to see you guys up close and personal Saturday, May 16th. Thank you in advance for being part of this year's K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta. We're very, very pleased to have you. You're always one of our favorites, and we love it when you stop by the Kevin and Bean Show. So thanks so much, you guys.
Cheers. Thanks,
thank you very much.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of feel, do you feel the emotion when you wrote it, later when you're playing it? And that was a poorly asked question. I'm gonna take that. Can I take that again?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, sweet Jesus, thank you.
I wish,
Hall of Fame!
I wish you guys could all feel what I felt when I was looking in Matt's eyes and Dom's eyes, and they were like, is he speaking the same language that we are?
They've announced they're no longer going to play. They can't bear it, and I don't blame them.
One more time.
Replay!
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of feel, do you feel the emotion when you wrote it, later when you're playing it? And that was a poorly asked question. Can I take that again?
That was A Moment.
I love that they are giggling at you while you're asking.
Yeah. Well, they could sense that I was going under.
A lot of giggling happened during that interview.
They were fun.
Kevin.
Hey,
damn it.
Exactly. Muse is playing the K-Rock Weedy Roast 2015. Just announced all the details at KROQ.com. And by the way, we didn't have much chance to point this out, but no longer Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, you guys.
That's right. Yeah.
Old school, back to Irvine Meadows.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Whoop-de-whoop.
Irvine Meadows. Anyway, tickets are going on sale for pre-sale. What do we call that?
The street team
this Friday at noon if you want to buy your tickets, and you should because it's going to be a great show May 16th. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
I'm looking at the lineup. I don't see Rick Springfield anywhere on there. That's got to be a typo,
because
right?
He's not playing.
Loverboy? I don't see Loverboy on there.
Not playing.
The Romantics are missing as well from my list.
Not playing.
What?
Got your Walk the Moon and your AWOL Nation and your Florence and the Machine.
Oh, well, I guess I'll just have to try
Monsters and Men.
Just to salve my soul with the Rick Springfield Loverboy Romantics Tour that's going on this summer. Woo! Whoop-de-woo! Kevin's getting shit right now.
Come on.
Come on.
Stop acting like that's good.
Springfield, Loverboy, and the Romantics all in one show. Boom.
You know I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Where can I find a woman like Jesse's girl?
And just like that, I went from excited to not excited about the Weenie Roast.
See?
I've seen him 3 times in concert. All right. That shocking.
How much more fun with the Weenie Roast people with a little Rick mixed in?
I think we have a pretty good show. I feel like we have a pretty good show. I don't think we need...
Sprinkle a little Springfield, as we say in the business.
No one says that.
A little Sprinklefield.
I think we have 14 bands. That's probably enough for a day.
Just a taste of Rick makes the perfect day.
So like this. You know what?
No, I think that you have to do a little bit more than
that's
that.
That's it.
Yeah. You know, it's always been my dream to be in a Rick Springfield cover.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, you got to juggle this.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Furious 7 continues to be number one. It only made $18.3 million this weekend. But still, that was good enough to put it at the top of the charts. Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, $15.5 million, made it second. Age of Adeline, the new Blake Lively film, came in third with $13.4 million. Then Home, Unfriended, Ex Machina, The Longest Ride, Get Hard, Monkey Kingdom, and Woman in Gold. Get Hard, Monkey Kingdom, and Woman in Gold all sound like titles you'd find in the back of the old school video store,
yeah,
behind the curtain, where you get the good things. Woman in Gold, yeah. Monkey Kingdom, yeah. Get Hard. Longest Ride. Let's put that on there, too, by the way, while we're coming up with titles that sound like porn that aren't. Ex Machina.
So good.
Robot porn. For the beans. Hey, multiple gunshots were fired at Lil Wayne's tour bus in Atlanta early yesterday morning. Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Yeah. It's known as the Atlanta wake-up call. I don't know if you spend much time down there or not, but that's just how they wake people up.
You call the front desk.
The front desk. Can I get a wake-up call? Uh-huh. Sure. What caliber? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jenna Coleman of Doctor Who.
She's adorable.
She is just, I just want to eat her up.
Yeah.
Just those little dimpled cheeks. I just want to bite them. You know what I'm saying? Hello? Yeah, exactly. What that? She's 29 years old today. Remember we had her in?
Yes.
We had her on this show, Kevin.
Sure.
On our show.
Adorable.
We had her.
She's adorable.
She is smart and funny and lovely. I'm glad she's going to stick around on Doctor Who for a while. Patrick Stump of Fallout Boy, 31 years old today. Ari Grainer, lovely and talented actress, is 32. And Ace Frehley, star child. You want the best? You've got the best! Legendary guitarist of Kiss. I cannot wait to see him perform at Kiss the next time they're in town. No. I love Space Ace. He's not a member.
He's in the band. He got fired again.
What?
Sorry to say. Hell of a guitar player, though.
He is a hell of a guitar player. And a hell of a drug user, from what I understand.
Mm.
Likes his drugs. But who doesn't? I would like to ask him one question about music. Do you have the emotion of the writing with the emotion of the playing? I didn't do that justice. Can we hear the real thing?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of feel... do you feel the emotion when you wrote it? Later when you're playing it. And that was a poorly asked question. Can I take that again?
That was A Moment
Usually I just have Ralph and Allie busting up laughing when I do that. And now the band Muse is laughing at me as well.
Good.
So that happened.
Like those guys.
Huh? Yeah, me too.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's over.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:07.
That is Of Monsters and Men, one of the great acts that's going to be joining us on May 16th at the Irvine Meadows. Yes, that's what it's called again, the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. That's going to be on Saturday, May 16th, and tickets are on sale this Friday at noon. Get the details at KROQ.com. By the way, Muse is playing the show. They were just with us last hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. What if I were to tell you that our good friend Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco is going to be joining us at 9 o'clock this morning in studio as well?
It's a cavalcade of stars.
It is. Super fun. Super fun to be able to talk to these guys about the show.
Said no one ever.
Well done.
Now, I know that the lovely Allie McKay has taken a lot of heat since she joined the show as being the she-bean. And I know that's very insulting to her because nobody wants to be in my camp. But I have to say, Allie, who were the only two people on the show who were at their respective homes on Saturday night watching C-SPAN?
Right.
They were you and me, right?
Is that, do you want to, but I'm saying, do you want to point that out?
I actually watched it on CNN, so maybe.
So that's, so you're cooler than I am?
Well, yeah, it had
multiple
cameras.
Were you at home on Saturday night watching CNN?
I actually watched this before I went out because I really wanted to see Cecily Strong.
But then you did go out.
I did go out.
Okay, so she wins, Bean, sorry.
I did not. I just watched it and went right to bed. Cecily Strong was the White House correspondence host, I guess you want to say, MC. She was funny. I thought she was really good. But the president, I thought, killed it this year. What did you think about President Obama Saturday night?
I thought he was hysterical.
I know that being the president, you get the easiest laughs in the world. You don't really have to be that funny, and people kind of nervously laugh just because of, you know, the position of power, right? But I thought he brought some good material. So here's just a couple of highlights from the president Saturday night. Oh, for folks who don't know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, it's been going on for 75 years or something like that. It's basically where the press, the television and print and all the media, now people like BuzzFeed and Mashable are there too, they come together at the Washington Hilton, and there's all sorts of invited guests there, lots of Supreme Court justices and senators and celebrities and actors and all sorts of people. And they basically have a little bit of a roast towards one another. And here's what some of what the president had to say.
And welcome to the fourth quarter of my presidency. Fact is, I feel more loose and relaxed than ever. Those Joe Biden shoulder massages, they're like magic.
He can't keep his hands off you.
You should try one. Oh, you have. I am determined to make the most of every moment I have left. Now, after the midterm elections, my advisors asked me, Mr. President, do you have a bucket list? And I said, well, I have something that rhymes with bucket list.
Come on, by the way. Is that maybe one of the greatest lines you've ever heard from a U.S. president?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty darn strong.
Being president is never easy. I still have to fix a broken immigration system, issue veto threats, negotiate with Iran, all while finding time to pray five times a day.
See, he's a Muslim.
And it is no wonder that people keep pointing out how the presidency has aged me. I look so old, John Boehner's already invited Netanyahu to speak at my funeral.
Now, I know you don't get that one, Kevin, but that's very funny.
Now, okay. Look, it is true I have not managed to make everybody happy. 6 years into my presidency, some people still say I'm arrogant and aloof, condescending. Some people are so dumb. And that's not all people say about me. A few weeks ago, Dick Cheney says he thinks I'm the worst president of his lifetime. Which is interesting because I think Dick Cheney is the worst president of my lifetime.
Whoa.
It gets worse. Just this week, Michelle Bachmann actually predicted that I would bring about the biblical end of days. Now that's a legacy. I mean, Lincoln, Washington, they didn't do that. But, you know, I just had to put this stuff aside. I've got to stay focused on my job because for many Americans, this is still a time of deep uncertainty. For example, I have one friend. Just a few weeks ago, she was making millions of dollars a year, and she's now living out of a van in Iowa.
See, because Hillary Clinton is running for president, and now she's in a, you know, that's funny. Come on, Kevin. She was making millions of dollars, now she's living in a van. Here he is talking again about his vice president, Joe Biden.
Let me set the record straight. I tease Joe sometimes, but he has been at my side for 7 years. I love that man. He's not just a great vice president, he is a great friend. We've gotten so close in some places in Indiana, they won't serve us pizza anymore.
They had a thing with the gays.
But of course, let's face it, there is one issue on every reporter's minds, and that is 2016. Already we've seen some missteps. It turns out Jeb Bush identified himself as Hispanic back in 2009. But you know what? I understand. It's an innocent mistake. Reminds me of when I identified myself as American back in 1961.
See, because he's a Kenyan Muslim. All right, so we're going through the tape of the president at the Saturday night's Washington Correspondents' Dinner. And they did a bit that they've done on Key & Peele many times before, where the president brought out Key from Key & Peele to play Luther, his anger translator.
That was funny the last time.
So the president will say what he's going to say, like in presidential terms, and then Luther will translate. We've just got time for just a little bit of it. It was pretty funny.
Hold on to your lily white butts.
In our fast-changing world, traditions like the White House Correspondents' Dinner are important.
I mean, really? What is this dinner? And why am I required to come to it?
Because despite our differences, we count on the press to shed light on the most important issues of the day.
Oh, and CNN, thank you so much for the wall-to-wall Ebola coverage. For 2 whole weeks, we were one step away from the Walking Dead. And then y'all got up and just moved on to the next day. That was awesome. Oh, and by the way, just if you have noticed, you don't have Ebola.
So there's Luther, the president's anger translator for the White House Correspondents' Dinner Saturday night. Good stuff.
Walk the Moon, one of the bands that is playing the K-Rock Winnie Roasty Fiesta 2015. The show is Saturday, May 16th. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. You have to be a Street Team member. Go to krock.com for more information.
And another of the bands playing, Panic at the Disco, will have Brendan Urie from the group, their lead singer, joining us at 9 o'clock this morning. So very excited to catch up with Brendan. Love that dude. All right, so Kevin just asked us in the waning seconds of that song, guess what he was watching on ESPN2 last night? I'm going to say Sunday Night Baseball.
But that has baseball in it.
Okay.
Allie, do you have a guess?
I don't think there were any hockey games that late.
Not on ESPN2 for sure.
MLS? Some soccer game? How about some Premier League game?
Yeah, soccer.
No. Here's what happened.
Football.
I got a tweet from Joe, and he said, in all caps, turn on ESPN2 right now. You won't believe it.
Huh. Now, who's Joe? Is he just a...
guy who tweeted at me.
Just a listener. Okay, go ahead.
Guy who tweets.
All right.
So I turned on ESPN2, and there was some kind of video game challenge that was on, and the announcers were going crazy. And then as soon as I turned it on, I said, what is happening on ESPN2? Our friend Ashley Escada, she tweeted, I'm yelling at my TV right now. And I was like, what's going on?
This is Ashley Escada, who, of course, used to be a professional video game player and is now the co-host of Tomorrow Daily, senior editor on CNET, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Ashley.
Hey, guys.
So,
I feel like the Andrew Siciliano of Nerdville.
All right. So Heroes of the Dorm turns out to be the show that you guys were both watching on ESPN2 last night. What is that, Ashley?
So this is a really big deal for esports, which is kind of a really burgeoning professional video game sports. It's video game sports, and it's really exciting, and it's really fun. And Heroes of the Dorm was put on by Blizzard Entertainment, which is the makers of World of Warcraft, and they have this game called Heroes of the Storm. And what they did was they created a tournament, a college team tournament, just like you would see March Madness. Of 64, it was a 64 team bracket, and last night ASU, Arizona State, and Cal, UC Berkeley, they faced off in the finals, and UC Berkeley ended up winning their college tuition for the rest of for 4 years of their college career, which is pretty good.
For everyone at Berkeley?
Five people on their team.
Five people, okay. Bean, I just want to play you a little of the highlights.
Yes, please.
And I want you to listen to how crazy excited the announcers are. This is awesome.
This is a 22-minute dragon. This dragon is so strong. It's going to be very difficult right now for ASU to hold.
And it's all already there are two ASU players that are not in the game just yet. They're waiting to respawn after being picked there.
They're going to go right for the core. This is it. It looks like they may have enough damage to actually end this game right now. Panda in the Dragon Knight, targeting down this score. So much damage being dealt. Zero ending as well.
GG! UC Berkeley has done it. They are your winners. Give it up for your Heroes of the Dawn.
That announcing.
I have a friend that actually tweeted. She said, I don't know what I'm watching, but I can't look away because these announcers will not allow me to.
Yeah. No, it was really, there were a lot of people tweeting like that who are just like, ESPN2, what is this?
Yeah.
And I also can't stop watching.
Were you yelling at your TV or was that just an exaggeration?
No, I absolutely was yelling at my TV. Those UC Berkeley kids were putting up crazy amounts of defense. That last map that they played, it was a best out of 5 series, and it went all 5. So it was very, the tension was at its peak. And in each of these maps, they have different maps and heroes of the storm, and you get to pick Blizzard heroes. So there's all kinds of different characters you can play as, and they each have their own strengths and weaknesses and attacks and things like that.
Ashley, you're so cute.
I'm totally nerding out about this. And so each of the maps has a special mechanic, and in this particular map, it is a dragon knight that you can get by collecting a bunch of you capture these two nodes on the map. And so they had put up some really great defense a couple of times against this Dragon Knight, and it was pretty great. So, yes, I was yelling at my TV, just like anybody would during the Super Bowl or
it's
any
not
other
the Super Bowl,
game.
Stop it.
But it's just like it, though.
Have they aired this on ESPN before?
We've seen ESPN 2, I believe, had a Dota tournament, but it was definitely a little bit less publicized.
Right.
And I think that was about a little over a year ago. Hopefully we are going to be seeing more of this. For me, I love stuff like this, and I think it's really fun. And I was telling, the King of Mexico, I was telling Dave that, you know, this is sort of, there were a lot of people on Twitter who were scared that, you know, oh, what's the world coming to? This is why kids are obese. Like, we're having professional video game sports happening.
What?
But really, this is sort of not the evolution of sports in the sense of baseball, hockey, football. This is really sports in the sense of this is an evolution of professional chess playing. Like, this is the next step forward in that arena. And so I think, you know, a lot of kids who are growing up with video games, like me, mm-hmm. That's the natural kind of thing that they might, you know, get really good at and want to do professionally. And it's very lucrative. You wouldn't believe, I mean, the guys in Korea who do this for a living and play games like StarCraft II are rock stars. They get mobbed. They make millions of dollars a year doing this. They travel all over the world. I mean, and it's a really great opportunity for somebody who really loves a particular game and is really good at it. To
sure. Imagine that. Imagine calling your parents and going, see, you told me all this time to do something serious. I'm making $1 million playing this game.
Literally,
suck
the
it.
Story of my brother who works in video gaming now, my dad always told him, like, put the games away. You got to figure out something else. Go outside. And now he works and makes video games. For
that's amazing. Ashley, I know you mentioned Korea, and I know how big the video games are there. I mean, this is regularly aired on television in a lot of countries around the world, especially in Asia, China, Japan, Korea, places like that. I mean, why don't some of these struggling cable channels do an on-TV version of what Twitch is doing on the internet? It seems like that would be profitable for somebody.
I definitely think you're right, and I think that ESPN2 might actually be a good sort of fit, because it's not quite, like, they have a lot of alternative sports programming,
right,
which is cool, and I think that it's...
Yeah, they do competitive eating and stuff like that on, too, right?
Spelling
yeah,
bee.
Yeah, yeah, right in between competitive eating and, you know, some kind of weird interpretive dance competition. I definitely think that this is... I think we're finally ready in the U.S. to sort of have that tipping point where people... There is enough interest in it online that networks are finally saying, okay, there's enough interest here. How can we make this a thing and make it really exciting, one? And two, I mean, I think there's still some bugs to be worked out. Again, not to sound deeply nerdy, but I felt
too
like
late.
They could have shown the mini-map to give people who were unfamiliar with the game an idea.
Seriously, that was my point. Where was the mini-map?
How come we can't see the mini-map?
I know. That's hard for you guys. I'm sorry.
It looks like they may have enough damage to actually end this game right now. Panda in the Dragon Knight, targeting down this score. So much damage being dealt. Zero ending as well. GG! UC Berkeley has done it! They are your winners! Give it up for your Heroes of the Dawn!
I didn't understand what was going on, but I knew I loved that guy.
Yeah,
and you knew Ashley would be watching it too, didn't you?
That's true.
Yep.
You are the best.
Last night I was watching it and I was like, Kevin and Bean are going to come.
Tomorrow daily on CNET. Ashley, we love you. Thanks so much for coming on with us today.
We're taking bets online whether I'm going to be able to get all the way through Weenie Rose without calling them Florence Against the Machine.
And you do have a tendency to want to call them that.
That's cruel. I mean, a little.
By the way,
I would bet against me.
Here's your tip for Wheaty Roast if you're lucky enough to get tickets when they go on sale Friday at noon. Make sure you don't miss Florence and the Machine. They are great live. You will have such a good time. And obviously, we hope Florence's foot is better by then. She was having a little trouble that second weekend at Coachella. But they are going to be on the lineup for May 16th at the formerly Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Back to the Irvine Meadows. You can get all the details at KROQ.com. And Brendan from Panic at the Disco, his band is playing as well. He'll be joining us just after 9 this morning on KROQ.
All right. It's time for Mama Mugs. Let's do this.
Mama Mugs. Mama Mugs. Mama Mugs. She's one badass, too. Mama Mugs. Mama Mugs. Mama Mugs. She hates the Dodger Blue. It's time for Mama Mugs. Give me some Mama Mugs.
L'chaim! This is a beer mug, our own sweet beer mug's actual mother, Mama Mugs, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ right now. Mama Mugs, you got yourself a theme song. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I can't stop laughing. This is terrific. I want a copy.
Absolutely.
A bestseller.
We will hook you up.
I'm not positive it's going to be a bestseller, but
we'll get your copy, though. So, listen, last time we talked to you, you seemed to be down in the dumps. As a longtime Dodgers fan, you had some very serious concerns about the 2015 squad. But I got to tell you, Mugs, I feel like that was unfounded. Your team's in first place and looking pretty good.
I'm laughing because they knew you would say that.
Well, wait a minute. Let me just back. Are they in first place?
They are in first place.
Okay.
But the reason they're in first place is that the division in which they are in is a very soft division, very weak.
Okay.
Okay. They can't help but win.
Right, but you only have to beat the people in your division to make it into the playoffs. That's all you want to do is win your division. That's best case scenario.
Yes, it is. But then in order to get back to your division, starting next week, they're going to play outside of the division and really tell if they're worth their medal or not.
Well, I would like to point out that they played outside of their division already this year and swept the Seattle Mariners, so they didn't seem to have any trouble with that team.
Who is in? They are in the last place in American League. Boom! Western Division.
Boom! We're not where we'd like to be. We're not where we'd like to be. What do you think of Don Mattingly and the job he's doing? He's had some tough decisions to make moving players around. Are you happy with the choices he's made, Mama Mugs?
Absolutely not, but he is hamstrung by his bosses, who are Andrew Friedman and his sidekick.
Uh-huh.
And Andrew Friedman came out and said, "We had this planned all along. We're going to jockey people in and out and back and forth to minor league, and we know what we're doing. So far, it's total chaos."
What about that bullpen, Mama Mugs? You had to rejoice in the breakdown of that bullpen.
Yeah,
bullpen.
It's terrible. Three of their very good relief pitchers are on the DL. The closer is on the DL from last year. Mm-hmm. So...
Well, that's what you said at the beginning of the season, is you were very disappointed they didn't go out and get you some pitching help for this year.
Oh, and there's no pitching. The only reliable pitcher so far is Greinke, not even Kershaw. We can't even rely on Kershaw. He hasn't won anything.
You just said we. You said we can't even rely on Kershaw.
Right.
Are you going back? Are you venturing back to being a fan?
Well, we collective, the royal we, I'm talking about.
I wasn't
not
sure.
Not the individual person speaking.
Okay.
Because last time we talked about the fact that you were a lifelong fan, and now it seems like we asked you if they won the World Series if you would be happy, and you said no. So sounds like maybe you're turning your back on the Dodgers.
I'm not turning my back.
Okay.
I have to admit that I can't get away from the TV, and I walk out of the room when there's something crucial, and I say a couple of bad words, and then I peek back in. I don't go all the way in. I just peek.
Right. Do you still stop watching immediately when they go down in a game?
Yes.
When they're behind?
Absolutely. They're down, I'm out.
Well, that's a good strategy.
When's the last time you saw an actual comeback
in
a game?
Well, I mean, really? Last week, sometime, against one of the teams they played, and they had two comeback wins in a week.
But did you see it?
In the ninth inning.
Did you see it?
Yes. I did.
Oh,
no,
wow.
No, I didn't see the comeback. I just read it the next
day. Read about it the next day.
Sure. Because if you always turn it off when they're behind, you will never see a comeback.
That's exactly correct.
Well, that's terrible planning on your part, Mama.
But it's a whole season. I'm going to have a lot of games that I will not see because I am somewhere else.
Mom, they can't win them all. There's 162 games in the season.
I know. That's what they say. But
I just wait a minute. Hold on. They say that because there's 162 games in a season.
I know. I will be in the bathroom 162 times. That's where I hide when they're going bad.
I just love that if the first batter gets up and hits a home run against the Dodgers are down 1-0 before they've even come up to bat. Muggs' mom is out.
Game over.
All right, let me ask you about a couple players real quick, Mama Muggs, before we go and hear your theme song again. First of all, Yasiel Puig, what's wrong with him? Why does he keep getting injured?
Well, I thought that they should. I don't know why he keeps getting injured, but he was last year, too. And I think his career is over. I said last year they should have gotten rid of him and kept Matt Kemp, who is hitting the cover off of the ball.
Yeah, he is. I think Matt Kemp has, what, the second highest batting average in the National League or something
third,
right now?
Third,
okay, yeah.
Behind,
it's
Adrian
still early,
has
though.
Gone down to second. And
Gonzalez.
I can't remember who's first, but... Yeah, Matt's hitting the cover over the ball just to spite us, you know? Yeah. He sticks it in our face.
Or he's just doing the best he can for the team that he plays for.
He just wants to stick it to the Dodgers.
Well, I mean, they traded him. What do you want him to do?
I want him to come back.
Well, that's not going to happen.
It's not his choice.
I'm always an optimist, so...
No, yeah, you're
not! That's what we've learned about you.
You are the opposite of an optimist.
The one thing we know about you is you always see the bright side.
I'm an optimist and a realist. So I know the Dodgers are not going to win.
All right.
I'm optimistic that they need to get a player behind Adrian Gonzalez.
Okay.
Because they're pitching around him.
Ladies and gentlemen, there she is, the most optimistic woman in the world. Beer Mugs Mom, Mama
Special
Muggs.
Mom.
Hit it, Steve.
Mama Muggs, Mama, Mama, Mama Muggs, Mama, Mama, Mama Muggs. She hates the Dodger Blue.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of feel, do you feel the emotion when you wrote it later when you're playing it? And
that was a poorly asked question. Let me take that. Can I take that again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
At least I wasn't saying that to views.
You know, they're trying so hard to follow and be respectful. And then when you out yourself on it, they go, "Blah!" Finally, we got the laugh in your face because we were thinking, what a douchebag you are.
That was from earlier this morning with the band Muse in studio. By the way, that I know this doesn't sound like K-Rock, but that interview is already up at KRock.com for folks who missed it and they want to see it.
No,
yes.
It's not.
Yeah, video.
But did we edit that question out?
I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance to go through the whole thing. But anyway, you can see that at KRock.com. We got a new interview that Kevin can screw up coming up right at 9 o'clock. Brendan from Panic at the Disco is going to be joining us in studio. First, though, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Can we hear that just one more time? Just one more time. Just the moment with one more time.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of feel... do you feel the emotion when you wrote it later when you're playing it? And
that was a poorly asked question. Let me take that. Can I take that again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Now Kevin's laughing at himself.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
It's important to be able to laugh at yourself.
Shut up, Robert.
That's what keeps you healthy, Kevin. That and medicine.
I love Muse so much.
Good medical care.
That hurt me.
Keeps you healthy. Top 10 movies at the box office, Furious 7. Boom. Number one again. $18.3 million this weekend. Not a ton, but enough to make it number one.
Yeah, for weekend number four, by the way, no one's complaining about that.
No. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 made $15.5 million, made it number 2. Age of Adeline, the new Blake Lively film, came in at number 3 in its debut with $13.4 million. Then Home, Unfriended, Ex Machina, The Longest Ride, Get Hard, Monkey Kingdom, and Woman in Gold, rounding up your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of Furious 7, Furious 8 will be happening. Vin Diesel told the CinemaCon audience in Vegas over the weekend that the release date for the film will be April the 14th, 2017.
Hang on, let me make a note.
Make sure.
April. Oh, I'm busy.
I swear to you, I swear to my brother upstairs, we're going to make the best movie you've ever seen, he said, referring to Paul Walker. Or as he refers to him. Last time I was on this stage, I was with my brother, Pablo. All right, easy. Just easy. Just stop. Pablo. Think you meant Pablo Cruz? Maybe he was on stage with Pablo Cruz.
Sure, I'm sure that's what he meant.
How happy would Bean have been if that was
Don't bring
case.
It up. That's a painful memory for him.
I'm sorry.
You know that.
Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy, Dua Diddy Combs, and Mark Wahlberg have a little wager on the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight coming up this weekend.
Okay.
Sean and Mark are throwing down a $250,000 bet.
Wow.
On the upcoming fight.
Now, Mark is always hanging out with Pacquiao, right?
Mark is gunning for Manny. Yeah, okay. He is backing his man, Manny. And Puff Daddy is throwing down cash on Floyd. So, here we go. It's game on. It's game on. By the way, 50 Cent, he has a $1.6 million wager
on
Floyd in Las Vegas, Nevada. So,
wow. Hey, I'm behind on my Kimmels, but is Jimmy walking out with Manny Pacquiao? Is he part of the entourage for Manny Pacquiao? I think I read that somewhere.
I don't know anything about that, but I would love it if that was so.
They're close. I know they're friends.
He said he wanted to, and he asked him if he could. I saw that.
Would that be something?
So would it surprise me? Not at all.
Not at all.
It would be awesome.
Kevin, did you finally realize that you can't fight it? You have to buy the fight, even though you swore you'd never buy another
fight?
I'm
trying to
find
somebody else that's going to get it and go to their house.
You want to see it, but not pay for it.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Can you spend $100 on that? It's going right to Mayweather.
Yeah, I know.
You got to, though. But, you got to. This is the last time you have to buy a Mayweather fight. Ever. Unless there's a rematch.
Right. Larry King tweeted last night, and I know it's not like him to tweet something that matters, but he said, what if there's a draw? What if they call it a draw? Then what?
Burn the mother down. That happens. Today's celebrity birthday is Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley. He is 64 years old today. Space Ace, as he was known, the spaceman.
That's right, man.
Sure.
64. Ari Grainer is 32 years old today. Patrick Stump turns 31. Actress Jenna Coleman from Doctor Who is 29 years old today. And he has passed. He passed way too soon at the age of 27. But I would like to celebrate the birthday of a personal hero of mine back in 1947 on this date. Was born in Swansea, Wales. A little gentleman by the name of Peter Ham. Peter Ham, who was he, do you ask?
Who's Peter Ham?
The lead singer of Mother Effin' Badfinger!
Yeah!
Hit it!
No matter what you are, I will always be with you.
Oh, he's got it. Ralph's got it.
Doesn't matter what you do, girl. Ooh, girl, won't you?
No Peter Ham!
Did you update the
Pete?
You update the people on the progress over the weekend?
Well, as you know, it's always been my lifelong dream to have my own Badfinger cover band. And now, sure. Worst Thumb exists. It's a thing. First, it was just me. I stood alone.
Right.
The cheese stood alone. Then came a little mouse named Chip who just came up and started nibbling at the cheese.
Yeah.
When we were two.
That's all she could reach.
That's all she could reach. And then a gentleman by the name of Noodles from a band called The Offspring said, hey, I'll join your little Badfinger party. Why'd you add me to the band? I said, well, now we're starting to become something. Then Beer Mug said, I can play drums. And we said, we'll let you know.
We'll get back to you. It's a work in progress. We don't know if we have to yet.
And then this weekend, I was talking to a gentleman, a friend of mine named Pat Smear.
Oh, just Pat Smear.
That's all.
Okay.
And he said, you know, we're in town for a couple weeks before we have to go back on the road with Foo Fighters. I'd be happy to come in and play guitar with Worst Thumb.
Wow.
So now we are a band. Now we are Legion.
Wow.
Now we are Legion.
You just need a drummer and a bass guitarist and you'll be set.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Announced earlier this morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, all the details you need to know for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. One of the acts on the bill. We couldn't be more excited to see them back in the building. Panic at the Disco. Ladies and gentlemen, Brendan joins us from the band.
Hello, guys.
Hello, my friend.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
This is awesome.
Kind of a big deal for us this morning to announce the Weenie Roast. It's something we look forward to every year. How do you feel about going out there and trying to win over maybe some fans who aren't there to see Panic?
I love that. That's one of my favorite things. It's obviously so different, you know, when you play a club show, you have your fan base there. But playing festivals, especially Weenie Roast, the last time we played, actually, I think was an acoustic Christmas show. And right before that, we played right after Rob Zombie. And that was awesome because he had some very, very sweet things to say about us. That was very cool.
It's got to be so weird to just be watching him going, yeah. We're next.
Wait. He's like, who are these tight pants wearing little? Yeah, it was awesome. Dracula! Yeah, it was awesome. Good stuff.
Let's before we get into the talking about the new song that we world premiered last week, which is awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about, let's do a State of the Union on Panic of the Disco because the band's been around for 10 years. Now,
yeah,
and you've been through perhaps more changes than other bands. What's up?
Sure, yeah, it's been a couple lineup changes. It's weird to think that it's been 10 years. I'm still 12 years old in my mind, mm-hmm. and that is a good thing, I guess. Sometimes,
are you still at the point where you wake up and go, I can't believe this is my job?
Yeah, every day. If I wake up at all, you know, sometimes you just sleep a whole day, but no, it's good. I think, you know. It's so weird to think about, you know, when you reminisce on, you know, who's been in the band, where we've been, shows we've played, people we've met. Just super happy.
Does
super
it start
grateful.
To blur at some point where you only can sort of hit highlights in your mind?
Yeah, sometimes. I have to have help from all my friends I worked with for a long time to jog my memory.
And you were the last to join the band.
I was at the very beginning, yeah.
Now you're the only original member.
The last man standing.
Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
Why do people hate you?
Why do they keep leaving you?
I don't know. You should ask them. Can we call them right now? Guys, let's make amends. No, it's so funny because when we had our first split, a couple of our old members wanted to leave and start a new band. And we're like, cool. You know, it was totally amicable. It was like, cool, mutual agreement. And then, you know, we've gone through so many different lineups trying to have people tour with us and not tour with us and trying to figure out a dynamic over 10 years that some of it does, you know, blur together and you go, well, you know, what do you want to do now? And for me, it's never changed. I've always loved doing this. I love this job. And it's something I've never wanted to let go of.
But chemistry is such an important part of the creative process
huge,
and also just the day-to-day life on the road as a touring rock band. I would imagine that has to be what you look for every bit as much as musically what somebody can bring to a band is who's somebody I can stand.
Yeah, sure. You got to live on a bus with these people for 2 months.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they got to smell pretty, right?
They have to smell so good because if just one bad smell and it's over. And that's really why everybody else left because I just smell terrible.
You smell terrible.
Yeah.
Cat's out of the bottom of it.
Cat's out of the bag, guys.
That's it. All right. Is it? I'm not asking you to complain, but is it more difficult than most people know to be in a band and to make that work on the road and with all the different pressures?
I think being in close quarters with anyone. I've been married for a couple years now, and that's still tough. You know, once in a while, you know how to push each other's buttons, just mm-hmm. like that. I mean, the right. drop of a hat, you can say one thing just to set him off because you know him so well. So, you know, you do that once in a while, but then you become closer once you realize that you were being a jerk. So you kind of give and take, you know?
We are talking to Brendan Urie here on the Kevin and Bean Show from Panic at the Disco. They are on the bill for Saturday, May 16th for K-Rock's Weenie Roast Fiesta 2015. We talk about working together as a band. Brendan, you are a guy who seems to be unusually collaborative. It's so amazing to me how many different other bands that you've worked with on songs, been in their videos. I mean, Fall Out Boy and Gym Class Heroes and with Dylan Francis, of course, you had that great song and stuff. Yeah. Tell me about that. I mean, are you just one of these guys who's just open for anything, like any other creative person, put me in a room with that person to be fun to work with?
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it starts. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, there was a thing I told, you know, my manager. I was like, all right, anytime, you know, you call me, I'm just going to answer one way. And it was always, hey, this is Brendan. Yes, I'll do it. And as long as I show up, you know what I mean?
if
it ends up
not
working out.
If you have the right manager, that's okay.
Exactly. But I don't have the right manager. throwing Scott under the
bus. That's so interesting to me how open you are to that because there are so many artists who are kind of in their own lane and they kind of don't feel like they can do that with other people. But you just seem to be like, hey, whatever.
Yeah, it's fun. I like to bounce around. My ADHD kind of makes me do that. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Shiny.
We know what you mean. Panic at the Disco is going to be on the bill along with Muse of Monsters and Men, Florence and the Machine, Death Cab for Cutie, AWOL Nation, Walk the Moon, and Vance Joy. Just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. All the details at krock.com, including where you can buy your tickets and when. We're going to take a quick break. Brendan, can you stick around? We'll do one more.
Please.
be right back on K-Rock.
Awesome. That is Hallelujah, the new song from Panic! At the Disco.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I love that one. Brendan from the band. Yes, really? Is that your personal pick for the day here, Brendan?
That is. Yes.
From Panic! At the Disco.
Our only pick, yeah.
Hallelujah, maybe my favorite Panic! At the Disco song.
That
it
is awesome.
So upbeat and happy and sing-along and fun, and it has the weirdest sample from the band Chicago, which I never in a million years would have seen. Like,
yeah, man.
Where did that come from?
That's always fun. I mean, that's, you know, one of my parents' favorite bands growing up, so I just would listen to it all the time. That's how a lot of the songs start, actually. I mean, how they get started, anyway. It's a lot of pull from, you know, just nostalgia.
That's
good bands, too. Chicago's a great band.
And what are we hallelujahing about? Because I'm terrible at it. I hear the song. I love the song. I can't say I know. Is this relationship hallelujah, or is this end of relationship hallelujah, or what's happening?
A little bit of both. I mean, it's a relationship hallelujah in a couple different ways. You know, when you have to own up to your mistakes, you know, praise that. As long as you take responsibility for your actions, everything else seems it can fall into place if you have that same attitude. So that's really what it was. It's kind of a play on just, yeah, you know, hallelujah, I'm not a sinner, but we are. I mean, the song is definitely about that, something that is a little risque.
It sounds like you have a whole choir on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's me and my friend Morgan. She sings in a band, M83, too.
And that's it?
Yeah.
And it's you just, and Morgan.
Wow.
Yeah, she added a couple high notes, but I had to stack. My friend Jake, who helped produce the song, just kept saying, all right, higher. Do you have a higher one above that? Do you have a higher harmony above that? And I would just have to keep climbing up until I was just...
It sounds like a full gospel choir
behind
you.
Yes, that's very good. Yeah,
it does.
Awesome. Wow. So what's going to happen with the tour? Are you going to bring a gospel choir with you just to fake people out? Or are you going to do all the voices
I want
well?
To so bad. There was also the idea that I wanted to bring... Yeah, I'm going to have to sing 10 voices at a time.
And then just play them all? Like, yeah.
But I wanted to... pull fans up from the crowd and have them kind of be the backing band for
that's
each show.
That's a terrible idea.
Do you think so?
That's a great idea.
Have you heard people
should we
sing
all be?
And aren't you?
That is a terrible idea.
That's what makes it a great idea.
It's a great
idea. Come on, guys.
But it can go south and hard
that's
and fast.
That's part of the fun. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Let's get weird.
That is, again, that is Hallelujah, new song from Panic at the Disco, world premiered last week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And it is, like I said, it's such an awesome song. We're so happy
thank
to
you.
Have that one to play here. The band is going to be doing that and others of the Panic at the Disco set list at the K-Rock Weenie Rosie Fiesta 2015. Details at krock.com. All right. We don't have a lot of time here, Brendan, but true or false, you have met President Obama.
True.
Tell us.
That was huge. So I was invited to sing for Billy Joel's inauguration at Kennedy Center, and that
Allie, are you moist right now?
You have no idea. He's on my top five list of men.
Oh, me too.
She loves Billy Joel.
Yeah, not Obama.
I'm in love with Billy Joel. Yeah, he. I mean, I was just like a little dumbfounded. I guess I was a little surprised that they would ask me. So of course I said yes, and we did a couple rehearsals. Was bumping into just some heroes. I mean, I ran into Don Henley. Yeah, I can say that. That's pretty
so
awesome.
Weird.
Wow.
That's so very strange.
Yeah.
Garth Brooks was there. He helped do the Billy Joel thing as well. So before that, there were a couple dinners, and it was so weird because it's so, it's so political. Like, everybody there has a job in the White House or otherwise related
that's
to
our
that.
That's our government. So, those are the people that are running the country.
Yeah, and it was very nice, very, you know, cordial, I guess. But it was, I felt so out of place. I'm just, you know, this tattooed, just like kind of, you know, younger guy. But everybody was really sweet. And then we had the chance to line up and meet President Obama. And so we did, and me and my wife were there, and we met him, shook hands. He is a tall man, and I was very, very nervous, and I don't remember what I said, but I did get a picture with him, and it looks like I'm saying, like, you're the best. I think that's what I did.
I wanted to ask you about that because most people, if they get a chance to meet the president, they know it's probably the only time in their life that is ever going to happen, and you don't want to embarrass yourself, but you also don't want to say something dumb, and you don't want to say something he's heard a million times before, so I would imagine you just overthink, like, what am I going to do with my 15 seconds as I shake his hand? Like, but you don't even remember what you said.
I don't at all. And I think he said, oh, that's a snappy suit. And I just, yeah.
Did he use the word snappy?
I think so.
That's awesome.
That's a great
suit. Did you have any idea that he knew who you were?
No. But he's very good at that. You know what I mean? He meets random people all day, every day.
He does seem personable. You got to be a pretty good politician to become elected president. You got to be able to pretend that you care, right?
Yeah, he was sweet, though. He's very, very nice.
But that's awesome.
Yeah, it was very
cool. And how about
cool.
Billy Joel? Did you meet him, too?
Yeah, I was actually, to be real, I was a little more nervous about that. Meeting him, I remember what I said, but I totally fanboyed out a little bit.
What did you say?
I was like, you are an inspiration to me. You are one of my favorite all-time singers, piano players, composers, and I just had to tell you that. And he was really cool about it. He's like, oh, man, you had a really great performance. I was tearing up. That was great. So it was really sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, the fact that he would tell me that.
That's really interesting because he's kind of famous for not.
I'm sorry, what?
Go back to that.
Hold on. Say again?
No. I said he will, you know, I will be missed.
You said it.
You said you kissed. You said I heard.
Did I?
You kissed. Yeah.
You said we kissed.
Nah, I don't think. I think I said it was a moment of bliss.
Okay. Oh, that's weird. I heard what I wanted to.
I think I talked to him with a lisp. No, what did I say? I forget what I said. I can't remember what I said.
Well, we can't promise Billy Joel or President Obama, but there'll be a lot of people very excited to see you at K-Rock's Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. We're so excited you guys are on the bill. We've been lucky enough to see you in the past, and you guys put on a great, I mean, you're exactly the kind of band we want on a sunny, sunshiny Saturday afternoon in Irvine. You know what I mean?
So I appreciate that.
It's going to be so fun. Congratulations on the song, and I hope the band doesn't break up before the show.
No promises.
And we'll see you soon, Brendan. Thank you.
Thanks again.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:36.
How fun was Brendan, by the way, from Panic at the Disco? I love that dude.
Very much fun. He's awesome. Okay.
And the guys from Muse stopped by earlier today as well. A lot of fun. You can catch up with those interviews if you missed them at KROQ.com. Just announced this morning the KROQ Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2015, Saturday, May 16th at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. And it is now once again being called, along with lots of other great bands, Death Cab for Cutie, Florence and the Machine, James Bay of Monsters and Men. So much more. Go to KROQ.com for all the details. Hey, Ralph Garman, you ready to take us home for a Monday?
Let's do it. Before I get to showbiz news, let me give away some passes to join Beer Mug and the K-Rock promo crew for the Mayweather Pacquiao K-Rock Fight Night at the Bike.
Yeah!
That is awesome. That is awesome.
That almost rhymes completely. It's Fight Night at the Bike. This Saturday at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino, you got to be 21 years of age or older to attend. But as you can imagine, it's Beer Mug and the K-Rock promo crew hanging out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino watching the big Mayweather versus Pacquiao fight. A pair of VIP passes. If you call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. Love to have you come out and join Beer Mug and K-Rock. And for more information regarding the fight and the Bicycle Hotel and Casino, you can go to thebike.com. But give me caller, 21, since you have to be 21 years of age or older to attend. Caller number 21 and 22. Two lucky winners will get a pair of VIP passes, 1-800-520-1067. Call now. And just think, you can go there, watch a fight, maybe get a little too drunk, punch Beer Mug. That'd be the greatest
thing. That is fantastic.
That'd be fantastic.
How do you feel about the Jews?
Oh, come on. Why'd you bring O.J. Simpson into this? I don't even understand.
Not the Jews.
What?
What's wrong with it? It's Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Furious 7 is number one with $18.3 million. And Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, $15.5 million.
Zoom, zoom.
Made it number two. As Kevin stood there stone-faced to the very funny President Barack Obama at the correspondence dinner, I couldn't help but think.
He didn't enjoy that as much as we did.
I couldn't help but think, if President Obama ran into a sheet of really clean glass,
that'd be funny.
Down, now,
agreed.
So that's what he's got to do at the correspondence dinner to get a laugh out of Kevin.
That'd be a lot better.
Just had a Secret Service guy bring out a pane of glass, just have Barack just run into it, or Obama perhaps on a Segway.
Do it. I thought the president killed Saturday Night.
Crushed it.
Yeah. Kevin didn't seem to enjoy it as much as I did.
I don't even understand what he's talking about. Politics and things of books.
Stupid.
Dumb. Absurd.
Dumb. Absurd.
Home? Yeah, Absurd has just been close to Stirred now.
I like it.
Home was fourth, Unfriended was fifth at the box office after Age of Adeline, which came in at number three. Ex Machina, number six. Longest Ride, Get Hard, Monkey Kingdom, and Woman in Gold, rounding out your top ten at the box office.
Ex Machina is great. Go see it.
All right.
It's really, really good. I know that you're all hesitant because I went to Paul Blart.
How many times, Kevin, do we have to get burned
But let me say this.
Stop listening to your movie recommendations.
But let me say this. I went to see Paul Blart. I would not recommend that for anyone. I enjoyed some of the laughs in it. But I'm not, I wouldn't vouch for it. I'm not saying Ralph, go.
Okay.
Ex Machina. I think everybody will like it. It really great.
Hmm. Okay. All right, then.
You might want to source me with some critics or however you pick movies, but I want a good movie.
Friday night, Bruce Jenner cuddled up with Diane Sawyer, and they had sex on television.
They did.
You got to have the vajayjay.
Yeah. No, they did an interview regarding his transition, his life as a transgender woman. E! Entertainment TV finally announced that they will indeed be doing a reality show detailing this journey. The series is being done by Bun & Murray Productions, the same people responsible for Keeping Up the Kardashians and Project Runway and Real World. 8-part, 1-hour series will premiere Sunday, July the 26th, apparently is the kickoff date. So if you want to follow this story, that'll be the place to do it.
How is no one using the term transgender in association with all of this? Why was not that the hashtag Friday night? Why is that not the name of the E! Show? Come on, people.
Maybe it's some gold. People think it's disrespectful.
But it's not. His name is so close to Jenner. And gender, they're the same word.
You know, his name is close to Jenner.
Right. That's true.
It's really, as I said that.
Close to Jenner.
Jenner.
Yeah. I'm just saying, transgender. Come on, people, get it together. Don't make me do all the work.
Is that how the people are going to be getting it together if they do that? Then they'll be together?
That's
not,
right.
Not peace or laying down of swords and beating swords into plowshares or nothing? Just using transgender. That's going to be the thing that bonds us all, huh?
I feel like that's true, yes.
Nope.
Okay.
Annual Daytime Emmy Awards are handed out on Sunday, hosted by Tyra Banks. She changed her dress 4 times.
Okay.
For some reason, that was in a lot of stories over the weekend.
Okay, good.
I don't know why. The only reason I bring it up is because Betty White received a Lifetime Achievement Award, but it was a Daytime Emmy Lifetime Achievement Award. It's like an afternoon, really. 93 years old, Betty White got up to receive her award. Well, she would have had she been there. But the award show started at 4, and she was already asleep. So she couldn't stay up that late to get her award.
How dare you?
93.
She's sharper at 93 than any of us in this room are at our current age.
She is a little bit of a miracle.
Yeah,
I got to give you that. Speaking of miracles, Kim Richards, that Real Housewife from Beverly Hills, who was locked herself in the bathroom and then was dragged out by cops and started kicking them at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's in rehab. You'll be shocked to know that she's in rehab. She's in a Malibu rehab facility, according to her keepers. She plans to stay for as long as it takes.
It's not a zoo, Ralph. They don't have keepers.
It should be. She needs a keeper. She needs a wrangler. She, by the way, walked out during a Dr. Phil interview.
Well, she did the right thing there.
And you can find that footage on his daytime talk show tomorrow if you want to watch that train wreck. But, yeah.
Are you addicted to drugs?
And what was her answer?
She left.
She left. I don't blame her.
You got a problem, lady.
And the Biebs had a big case of the look at me's over the weekend.
What?
Yeah.
The Biebs? Look at me?
He wanted some attention, apparently.
What?
That's why he crashed a prom over the weekend, showed up at the Chatsworth Charter High School prom in Los Angeles Saturday night. Unannounced, just walked in, started dancing with some of the teenage girls. And as you can imagine, it was totes OMG everywhere.
Did he have his shirt off?
I'm sure he did.
Seems to be how he rolls.
Doesn't Biebs strike you as someone who will be doing this many more times in the future?
Yeah. When he's like 50.
Yeah. Hey, where do the girls still know who I am? Oh, prom? Okay. High schools? Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah. It's kind of sad.
It is, actually.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley. You know him as Space Ace, 64 years old today. Well, you used to know him as Space Ace. Now you know him as guy behind the counter at Arby's who takes my order. Ari Grainer, she is 32 years old. Patrick Stump from Fall Out Boy. He's 31 years old. Actress Jenna Coleman, a companion to the Doctor in the TARDIS, 29 years old today. And as I mentioned earlier, the real birthday we celebrate, although he has gone, passed away at the age of 27 many years ago. But in this day in 1947, in Swansea, Wales, a young man by the name of Peter Ham was born, and he went on to be
the lead singer of one of the greatest power pop bands in the history of music, I give you Badfinger!
No matter what you are, I will always be with you. Doesn't matter what you do, girl. Ooh, girl, with you.
I think your 45 is skipping.
Yeah,
Kevin.
That was weird. I don't know what happened there. I approve of their hairdos. I saw a video that they had great hair.
I told you I had to grow my hair out. They had some sweet hair.
It
was like almost like the Runaways. It was like the hair of almost the Runaways, like Joan
Helmet,
like a helmet hair, just a thing down to the shoulders, just man hair, just man hair.
But I don't think you can concentrate and just make that happen.
And then
for
they
yourself.
Would just wear like a little tight suit and some sort of scarf. There's a lot of scarves going on in rock and roll in the 70s.
Need to be remade.
It doesn't need to be remade. It needs to be covered by the world's greatest Badfinger cover band, Worst Thumb. Is it happy? No, we have one more member over the weekend. Pat Smear has agreed to be part of Worst Thumb.
Well, that does make it legit.
Finally.
Sure
I think,
does.
I think Pat's finally to be glad to be a part of a band that matters.
Right?
You think
no,
so?
Finally. Finally. He's going to get a little attention being backing me up in a little band we like to call Worst Thumb. World's greatest Badfinger cover band.
Who's the lead singer?
That would be me.
Oh.
I will be playing the role of Peter Ham in tonight's performance.
You're going to be, because it's rock and roll and you can be, you're going to be a dick to Pat Smear and to Noodles, right?
I'm going to, well, they
better make their lives hell.
They just better do their jobs. That's all I'm saying. they're showing up. I want them to tow the rope.
Right.
Whatever it is that you tow.
You tow.
The line. I think it's the line.
Tow the line.
That you tow, yes. They should tow the line. They should get on the stick. They should S or get off the pot. You should do all those things.
Right.
And I'm
right.
expecting professionalism when they show up because I'm a professional, baby.
Look it up in the book.
Look it
That's
up.
Right.
But, so I just thought it was appropriate that since that good news happened over the weekend, we celebrate Pete Ham's birthday. Although, as I mentioned, he passed away when he was 27 years old years ago. But.
So Chip is still in.
If she plays her cards, right, if she toes the line and S's or gets off the pot,
and all those things.
There's a lot of cliches going on here.
There's a lot of cliches. Well, it's Worst Thumb, and we're known as the world's biggest Badfinger tribute band and cliche factory.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But you're still hoping to replace Beer Mug behind the drums with Dave Grohl, and you're going to talk to him this weekend and see if he's in.
Dave, if he wants to play, he can play drums, he can play guitar, he can do whatever he wants. Can't sing, because that's nuts.
That's right.
You don't want him singing.
Why would you have him singing when you got you?
Right. Yeah. But Pat's wife is a beautiful blonde, and she also is pretty good on drums. So we might we might tap her and ask her to come on in.
Does that get rid of Beer Mug?
That would get rid of
Beer
Mug. Yeah.
After you tap her, will you let her play in the group?
Maybe or? Tap her.
How dare you?
Best.
This is why you're not in the group.
I thought it too, Bane.
Filthy, filthy people are not in the band because of this kind of behavior, and we won't stand for it in Worst Thumb.
I'm
Ralph
Garner,
and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have a brand-new Internet Roundup. We have a woman who married a carnival ride.
What happened now?
We have comedian Kevin Pollak in to talk about his movie.
Weirdly enough, also once married a carnival ride.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I didn't realize
that. Yeah. The scrambler.
We also have Robin Lord Taylor.
Who does
talking.
He play?
He plays the penguin.
But what's the penguin's real name?
What's his full name?
They're asking me this because I took, 30 minutes and I couldn't get Oswald Cobblepot. out. But we love Gotham, and we're excited to have him tomorrow morning.
You speak like a guy with a broken spine walks.